Thanks, Steve. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder welcoming you to the Tuesday edition of our program. Just give us a call anytime you like, 312-981-7200. Wendy, I want to wish you and women everywhere a very happy and healthy International Women's Day.
I didn't even know it was that day.
Oh, yeah.
I would have baked a cake.
Well, it's not your day to bake a cake. If anyone should have baked a cake, it's me and presented it to you, but I don't know how to. So I will wish you a happy International Women's Day. And not just to women here in the United States, but it's International Women's Day. So for ladies around the globe,
what about ladies of the evening?
Well, sure, they're included in that. I wouldn't exclude them in this. Absolutely not. How will you celebrate it the traditional way? How do you celebrate it?
I will burn my bra.
All right. That'll be fine.
And I will buy new panties.
Good. I think you have a pretty full schedule then. That's excellent. This is completely out of character, but I want to say something nice about Donald Trump. Do we have time for me to say something nice about Donald Trump?
Don't we have to take a break, Kevin?
Should we take a break first? It's not like me. I have, with good reason, I think, criticized him as often as I possibly can on a daily basis, sometimes on air, sometimes off air, sometimes both.
And you're not telling people not to vote for him. You're just saying...
If you want to vote for Donald Trump, by all means, go and vote for Donald Trump, but it'll be the end of civilization as we know it.
All right, well, I would say it a little nicer. If you want to vote for Donald Trump, go read Louis C.K.'s post on Facebook, because that's what I think you should do.
Or watch John Oliver's piece on Last Week Tonight.
Do both.
Or, yeah, you could do both. Or just exist in the world and pay attention to things.
But see, you know, I I've said some good things about him because he has caused people alarm. So
he
has caused people to pay more attention maybe do more research. Before he ran, I heard politics, I heard debates, I heard caucus.
Yeah.
And I would just cover my ears.
Right.
But now it's getting scarier.
Well, you've said this before, and I agree with you every time you say this. He has created an interest in politics, some of it for the better, some of it for the worse, that didn't seem to be there in the past.
Amen.
Politics could either bore you or frustrate you. It still could. It still could bore you and or frustrate you. But for some reason, I think a lot of us are paying much closer attention, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's not only running but seems to be winning. Right.
But and that's a good thing that people are paying more attention. A lot of times you say, who are you voting for? It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
I'm just whatever I pick when I get in there.
Right.
Now people are really realizing that your vote does count. Rock the vote, baby.
I don't remember in our lifetime a more divisive candidate or potential candidate than him. Do you? Can you think of anybody that people just seem to either really love or really hate like this? I mean, I guess Nixon to some extent. I guess George W. Bush to some, well, Bill Clinton to some, I guess every president to some extent, now that I think about it.
Right? Ronald Reagan, you know.
Polk to some extent, Tyler.
People thought the world was going to end when Ronald Reagan won.
Right, right. All right, let me rephrase that.
It's still not to this extent, though.
Well, you've never had a candidate who has drawn so much ire from within his own party.
Right.
And when you've had party leaders willing to say, don't vote for this guy because we'll be less safe.
Right.
Well, that's a pretty remarkable thing.
That's not only has that never happened in our lifetime, I don't think anything close to that has ever happened in our lifetime. Can you think of anything like that where, like you said, Steve, within the own party, they're shaking their heads going, what?
No, I don't think so. Like to have had the last presidential, really the last two presidential nominees.
Yep.
Coming out saying, think long and hard about this.
Both John McCain and Mitt Romney within the last week have said, please don't do this. Please, we're begging you, don't do this. And as Donald Trump pointed out, if he asked Mitt Romney to get on his knees and beg, he would have done that. All right, so let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to say something. It's hard for me to admit this, but I am going to say something I think that you would consider to be very nice about Donald Trump. It's not going to be easy for me, but I will say it.
Do not touch that dial,
people. Don't touch the dial. Don't touch it. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. And as I mentioned at the very top of the show, I will now say something nice about Donald Trump. This isn't easy for me, Wendy. I'm not a fan of his political career. I liked him fine as a reality television boss.
You did?
I thought he was okay. I think I watched a season or two of The Celebrity Apprentice.
I never watched it.
It was all right.
I love Cindy Lauper, and she was on it at one point, and I still didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, Cindy.
She loves Cindy.
Yeah, everybody does. All right. So here's what I want to say, and feel free to criticize or agree whatever you see fit. Several people at this point, you just included Louis C.K. in this list, and he is certainly among the top, comedian Louis C.K. Glenn Beck is also on the list, and other people are on the list. It's now very fashionable to compare Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. And I don't think that's fair to anybody.
That's pushing it too far, in my personal opinion.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the first time I heard it, I had a similar reaction to when I first heard that he was going to run for president. I thought, oh, that's something. And then something
became
something
else. Are you an old lady in a house coat?
Oh, that's something.
From Wisconsin?
Yes.
Did you happen to see the photo of a Trump rally where he made the attendees raise their right hand to swear that they were going to vote?
Well, that's the hand you raise.
It didn't look much like a raising the right hand. It looked more like a certain salute.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm so glad you guys are bringing this up. When I got married 22 years ago,
yeah,
and Hitler performed the ceremony.
He did, and then he had to go, and we all know where he went.
Yep.
But
it's not funny to joke about Hitler. I know. Okay.
There was I don't know if they still do it, but there was a practice sometimes in the Catholic Church where they would ask people in the pews to extend their blessing,
to bless them,
and you would raise your right hand. You know, while the priest was extending a blessing, right?
Yeah.
That's just run of the mill in my world.
Yeah.
Well, I had some Jewish friends who were there.
Uncomfortable.
They were taken aback by
sure.
it. And frankly, I have to say, I was taken aback by their taken abackness. That they would see something in another church in people, you know, extending their arms and, you know, trying to be prayerful or whatever.
Right.
And then sort of saying that was wrong or shouldn't have been done. Was over the line to me, and I think this is another one of those cases. There's a lot of things you can say about Donald Trump, but I don't think it's in his interest to be encouraging people to give him a fascist salute.
No.
It's not.
You know?
It's
I mean,
not.
It's just something
things,
that looks like something else.
Right.
I'm so glad you brought that up because there are a lot of times in church where the whole congregation will do something at the same time. Now, you know, you have to hold hands when you say the Our Father.
Yeah.
And the person on the end puts their hand up. And if you're there with a non-Catholic person, which I was, a friend went with me. I don't even know why she went. And it's like, boy, it's like Hitler. You're all doing the same thing. You're like, but it's like, that's what we do.
It's conformity. It doesn't necessarily mean it's like Hitler.
But it is. Some people are taken aback by the conformity. It's like, oh, look at you, sheep. Yeah, well, I'm here to be.
But you know what, though? It becomes offensive when you try to find the negative in something that's a positive gesture.
Sure.
Yes.
You know, I mean.
But with Trump, let me quickly make the point. With Trump, say what you want about him. I mean, Adolf Hitler is one of the most despicable people in the history of the planet. If you were making a list of the absolute worst people that have ever existed on the planet, if Adolf Hitler is not your number one draft choice, he's going to be way, 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 way up there.
I mean, even Jeb Bush said he would kill a baby Hitler.
Right.
Right? That's how this campaign started.
He did.
You're right.
He did. All right. So knowing that, knowing what Hitler has done to society and to humanity, as bad as Donald Trump is, and as crazy as his tactics seem to be, to compare him to Adolf Hitler, I don't know if that's fair. Is it?
I don't think it is. And what he says and what he does are two separate things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it sounds bigoted and racist. And
right. Right.
I'm sure he has a black friend and a Mexican friend.
I'm not positive
more of what he's saying than what he's doing.
Right. Right. And there are, I mean, if you go through the things he has said and done, I'm talking about Donald Trump at this point, a lot of them are hideous and awful, and you could argue racist and you could argue sexist. I mean, that's fairly easy to do, but I'm not sure he's playing in the same ballpark as Adolf Hitler. I really don't, and I love Louis C.K. and Glenn Beck baffles me, and there's people in the middle who have also made the comparison. So I don't know, but every time I hear that, I cringe a little bit because I think to myself, it's kind of disrespectful to people who lost loved ones during World War II to Adolf Hitler's regime, because as goofy as Trump is, it's not at that level, you know?
I agree with you.
That's nice of you to say, Bill.
Thank you.
Evidently, you disagree, Kevin.
No, it's just I was reaffirming the point that he was being nice to Trump.
I won't say many good things about Donald Trump, and I hope that I'm not an apologist for him, and I'm not defending him in any way. I keep hearing more and more how Hitler-like he is and stuff like that, and I think to myself, I don't think he is.
I will say, you know, not arguing you necessarily, but there is an argument for him being a demagogue, which was definitely what.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's fair.
But not a terrible demigod.
Well, look. You can maybe make arguments about his behavior and his marginalizing of people.
Yeah.
You know, at the expense of the majority and all of that. And you go have at that. But the idea of people raising their hand to say they're going to vote
that's
for you.
That's a bit much.
I don't think that fits in that
ballpark. No.
And Louis C.K., I think I love the show Baskets that you turned me on to. And
he's the producer. Yeah.
And I've seen him be funny, but he's not like my favorite person in the world.
Yeah.
But I did read his little rant that I saw on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And read it with a grain of salt, because when he says this guy is Hitler, I didn't really agree with that. But I did agree with some of the other things he mentioned.
Well, he talks about how Donald Trump's rise is similar to what happened with Adolf Hitler in Germany in the 1930s. And in all honesty, there are some weird similarities.
There's the whole Kennedy-Lincoln thing, Mrs. Lincoln.
Right. That's involved as well. So read the piece. It's everywhere online. It's Louis C.K. Sending out an email about Adolf Hitler and about Donald Trump. And don't get me wrong. There are a couple of things that are crazily similar, but still.
And here's some things. If you're a true conservative, don't vote for Trump, says Louis C.K. He's not one of you. He is one of him.
That's true, too.
That's true.
That's very true.
Everything you've heard him say that you liked, if you look hard enough, you'll see that he one day said the exact opposite. He's playing you. In fact, if you do vote for Trump, at least look at him very carefully first. You owe that to the rest of us. No one understands who he is. Spend 1 hour on Google and just read it all. So, and at one point he says, you're just like, why doesn't a comedian just stick to the jokes and not get political?
Yeah.
And I don't like that either. I mean, that sent Rosie O'Donnell down a terrible path.
Yeah.
Stick to the funny.
Yeah.
But he's saying, just do your homework. Just do it.
Right. And that's great. That is solid
advice.
It really, really is. All right. There's a lot of call. Do we have time to take a call or two? I don't know how.
If they want to hang, we can do. We can take some phone calls. We have a Tech Tuesday coming up at 10:45. How does that fit everybody?
Let's do that. All right. If you're on hold, please stay there. I'm sorry for the timing on this, but we'd love to hear from you. We're 312-981-7200. We'll get some news in and then back to your calls. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. All right. This is just a little bit of a carryover from the last half hour. I'll quickly explain. At the top of the show, I said I don't often say nice things about Donald Trump, but I do want to say something that I guess you'd categorize as nice, and that is the fact that a lot of comparisons have been made in the media recently. Everybody from Glenn Beck to Louis C.K. and others have compared Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler, and I said I'm a little uncomfortable with that. Adolf Hitler, hands down, one of the worst people ever in the history of the planet. Donald Trump has his faults, but I'm not sure he's of the caliber of Adolf Hitler. We've gotten several calls and texts. We're at 312-981-7200.
Dale, what do you think about the Hitler comparison with Donald Trump?
Well, and by the way, I love your guys' show.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.
And the comparisons are, if you look on the History Channel with Hitler's campaign and all this stuff, Germany was in a lot of trouble. What did he say? I'm going to make Germany great. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to get, people are going to, the economy is going to go great, this and that. Comparison, what is it? What's Trump's thing? Make America better or great again?
Yeah.
There's a comparison there. This last thing with the allegiance, vote for me, this and that. And didn't Hitler at one time with these big rallies and that have all the guys raise their hand and give allegiance to him. Now, Trump didn't say it, give allegiance to me, he just said vote.
Right.
Vote for me.
Right.
Which is kind of like an allegiance, okay? So basically...
Well, every candidate is saying that, aren't they?
Every candidate, Dale, you have to admit, it runs on a platform of some twist on I'm the guy or girl that will make this country the best it's ever been. That's kind of a standard thing, though, isn't it?
but then getting rid of all the Hispanics.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
Which, to tell you the truth, you know, Hitler did to the Jews.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Jews were, you know, he said that they were taken away from the economy. You know, they were, you know, getting all the money. They had all the businesses and that. And then he closed them. And then, you know, wanted to get them out of the country. Well, he did just the opposite.
He did. Well, yeah. But
I'm not saying that Trump's gonna do the same thing. But it's a parallel.
And Dale, there are a lot of texters who agree with you. 312, hey, you can't compare Trump to Hitler right now, but that's how Hitler started all with his hate rhetoric and polarizing rallies. Someone else, 815, remember Hitler didn't start out like he became, might have started out like Trump.
But Hitler's version of getting rid of somebody was to literally kill them. And as bad as Donald Trump is, he's not running on the platform of I'm going to kill anybody.
That we know.
We hope.
Who knows? 312, is Trump Hitler? Probably not. But his real slogan should be Make America Hate Again, based on all that he has said so far.
Yeah.
Dale, thank you so much for calling, and thanks for liking the show. I think we have time for one more. Jack on the line. Hi, Jack. Don't yell that on an airplane.
I think when they talk about Trump being Hitler-like, is during his rallies where he assumes, number one, his demeanor. He's got the same type of look on his face, like I'm better than everyone. But also, whenever somebody does something that he doesn't like, he'll tell his, I'm going to call them thugs in the audience, throw that guy out, beat him up,
right,
don't let him
in. I know.
Hitler-like. That's Hitler-like.
It doesn't look, that look he has looks like he's constipated. I'm sorry. It really does.
A smug look, like I'm better than you. But I think it's very Hitler-like when he orders his thugs to throw escort people out and, you know, toss them out. That, to me, is Hitler-like.
I still don't think, and it is, but I still don't think it qualifies a compare. I mean, it's so hard to compare him to Adolf Hitler. I understand why everybody says no, you can't, because this is similar and this is similar, and I agree there are similarities, but the end result isn't going to be anywhere near as tragic as what happened with Adolf Hitler. It's impossible.
Let me say this: I agree with you. I'm not saying he should be compared to Hitler, but I'm saying that is one comparison that makes sense.
Yeah.
I hope to God he's not, you know, one quarter as bad as Hitler. I don't think he is.
All right.
He's a true politician. He's got his gimmick. He's
right.
Running on his gimmick.
Right.
Dale, or Jack, we appreciate your call. I just think he's rude.
I mean, you can't, there's no question.
So if he's saying, you know, get these people out,
right.
To me, that's not Hitler-like. That is just, he's a rude, arrogant
right.
SOB.
And that look that was just talked about of he always has that look like he's better than everybody. I think he believes he's better than everybody. He does. All right. Do yourselves a favor.
Do your homework.
Well, find the piece we're referring to. It's Louis C.K., and it's all over online. It's an email he sent out making the comparison. And, you know, there's plenty of valid points throughout. But when all is said and done, and I read it cover to cover, I still don't put him in the league as Hitler. I can't. I mean.
Not yet. We'll keep our eyes open, though.
All right, that's fair.
Well, we know what to expect, I guess, now, although I don't think you'd expect another rise of Hitler.
No. And I mean, I hope we've learned from our from the history of the planet, I hope.
Boy, you're giving him the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not defending him.
Wow.
I don't like to think I'm defending him. I'm just being realistic about this.
On this International Women's Day,
you have turned the corner. I know. This is the weirdest day to do it on International Women's Day. And I'm going to International House of Pancakes to celebrate International Women's Day. You should come with me.
Moon's over Miami?
Yes. That's coming up later on.
It's a Tech Tuesday. We will talk to Bridget Carey from CNET on the other side of this. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions in the tech world. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. the same as it ever was? Not really. The world is changing at a very fast pace, and it's a Tech Tuesday. On the line with us right now from CNET is Bridget Carey. She is host of the CNET Update and a senior editor over at CNET.com. Hi, Bridget.
Hey, how you doing?
What is new in the technological world today? Because we are just, the world is spinning, you know that.
Oh, there's always something that we're either excited about or biting our fingernails about. I think yesterday there was some panic over two different stories. One is about how Mac computers
the computers who get no viruses, by the way.
Well, that's not true. It just has that kind of appeal because you don't hear about the viruses that they get, and they don't get many. You see, Apple computers have always had this reputation for being safer than PCs because, well, if you're someone out to, you know, make the most effect for your virus, you're going to go for a PC. More people had Windows, and now more people are having Macs, and so you're starting to see some more viruses actually targeting Mac users. And the first ransomware. Now, what ransomware is malware that will lock up your computer and your files until you pay a ransom. This was spotted.
It's like
in the
Wild West in the technological
sure.
world.
Yeah,
it's a big problem for a lot of people on already, but now Mac users who may have just, you know, felt safe all the time downloading things, they have to think twice. I will say that this particular bit of ransom malware has been quote unquote fixed by Apple. They're kind of blocking it now from being downloaded, but nevertheless. You just have to, in general, be vigilant about what you're downloading. Think twice. This kind of was tied into software that involved something called torrents, and people use torrents to download sometimes illegal media, usually like they're pirating music or movies, but other times it's legit stuff. But for the most part, people are kind of like laughing at this, like, oh, you know, people who download the illegal stuff got caught with, you know, malware for the first time. At least that's what security researchers say. It was the first time they really spotted it, you know. But yeah, nothing's safe. You know, Macs are popular. You gotta practice good habits with any computer you use.
Bridget, about 3 years ago, I was on a site that plays clips from sporting events. I was watching clips from baseball games, and mid clip, I got a symbol on my computer that had the American flag and the logo of the FBI, and it said that they were confiscating my computer unless I went. I couldn't even charge it to my credit card. I had to go and get like a payment card, you know, at a CVS or a Walgreens, and for $200 they would release my computer. If not, the FBI would be confiscating my computer.
Boy, would they be disappointed with what they found on your computer.
They would be so disappointed. They would pay me $200.
Take it back.
So I had to go and have my, it is what you said, ransomware. I had to go to a computer place, and they charged me $80 to remove this. But, I mean, I didn't spend the $200, but still, I'm out $80. Just to get things back to normal. It's terrible.
You're one of the lucky ones. There's some ransomware out there where there is no cure. And when the FBI goes after these folks and server farms, like the ransomware I'm talking about is kinds that not only just lock up your computer, but they say you have a certain time deadline to go buy bitcoins and send us bitcoins because, you know, they're not as traceable.
Right.
And then right now in New York City, we have a few Bitcoin ATMs, and the only people really using them are people who look a little shady and also
really?
poor old ladies who are like, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never bought a Bitcoin before, but my computer is locked up. And then they have to go figure out how it all works to go pay it off to unlock it. The FBI actually busted a ring of these hackers who were doing this. But when they shut down the server, everyone who was infected was permanently infected.
Oh, great.
Because they never could get the cure. You know, they could never enter in their money.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like we shut it down, but everyone who was infected was kind of out of luck.
Terrible.
And so, yeah, some of this stuff is easy to fix. Some of it, you know, the only answer that people have sometimes is you have to pay if you need it right away. So always back up your files, I guess, is the lesson there. Back up your files to another place. So that
you know, you can say that till you're blue in the face, and I still don't and should. And I know you're not either.
I don't know how to back up my files. I have no idea.
I'm pretty bad. I think we're all bad. We need like alerts or like do it every, you know, spring cleaning, you know, or something at least.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, because I was going to get a new computer because I like to take videos. I couldn't say the word. Videos and pictures off an SD card. And I make little movies of my son's musical endeavors. And then I found that there is a an adapter you can get for your iPad where you can download and rip from SD cards and put it on your iPad. So I don't really need a laptop anymore. I have an iPad and an iPhone. Now, do iPads and iPhones get viruses?
They're more susceptible to... maybe if you're downloading like a strange thing from your email, but for the most part, you hear about some stuff, but really no, because the App Store itself is pretty protected, and those apps go through a lot of scrutiny. But there has been an app or two that has gotten out and made news because the people at Apple didn't check it close enough, and it only takes a day or two for them to clear it out, but sometimes people do get infected once in a while with a
but very rarely
strange app. Exactly. Android's a bigger problem because there's no watchdog in the Android store.
Now, I want to mention the Kindle Fire, because I was very jealous when my son and husband got a Kindle Fire for Christmas, and I said, oh, my God, I want one of those. Little did I know that they pitched in and got me my own iPad, which was even better than the Kindle. But I just read somewhere that they have stopped encrypting things because even though it was offered, no one was using the encryption. What's going on with the Amazon Kindle Fire?
I know. Like right now we're talking about encryption with Apple and the FBI. Then suddenly Amazon comes in the news for being less secure.
Because no one was using it.
So here's something you need to realize about some of these devices, including some Android devices. Sometimes you just assume your information is encrypted, but it's actually a setting you have to turn on. In Apple products, it's the default. In some Androids, it's the default. And in some Androids, you have to turn it on. And in the case of Amazon's Kindle Fire tablets, it was something you had to turn on. And what they decided to just get rid of in their latest software update is something called device encryption. So the information that I'm sending to you or is going to the cloud, that's safe. It's when a thief takes your phone or your tablet, and then it's easy for them or anyone, you know, who gets a hold of it to make a copy of your data when it's in, you know, not the owner's hands. So that's what we're talking about here. Anyways, there was such a hoopla over the fact that why would you just take away the option? And they didn't really explain themselves. And 2 days later, Amazon goes, we'll put it back in the next update in the spring.
Good.
So a lot of people need to put encryption on when they want to use their corporate email, you know, for their
Do you know how to do that,
device.
Bill?
No.
I don't either.
Nope.
Yeah, so it has to be turned on sometimes, you know, just to even put your email on there. Mm-hmm. But the criticism is, oh, gosh, it slows down the machine. Well, Kindles are cheap. And,
$50.
So, yeah, and so maybe
a tablet
not, maybe,
for $50.
That's not bad,
right?
Yeah,
right. So maybe you'll deal with a little slowness compared to the more expensive, you know, iPhone. But
sure.
That's something to always keep in mind. That you know, put a password on your stuff no matter what. At least even if you're not sure if it's encrypted or not.
And then forget your password, and then you know, it's the same password for all your things. So the hackers have an easy time.
Yeah,
I don't like the whole password situation. I really don't. Makes my life.
I keep a little password book in like hidden in my home that's all written down because honestly that ends up being the safest thing.
Don't you do that too?
I have a sheet of paper that has all my passwords on it. So if somebody steals that, I'm done. realistically, Bridget, how soon until they have just like facial recognition, or we can put our thumb on the screen and it'll know it's us? Is that a couple
they
years
have it
away?
On the iPad.
Do they
phone,
have that already?
Right? An iPad.
Well, okay, yeah. The Apple devices have biometrics with your fingerprint. Windows 10 has it so you can sit down. If you have a little webcam on your computer,
yeah.
You just sit down and your face within less than a second unlocks the computer without a password.
Oh, all right.
So yeah, this is here now. It's just a matter of, you know, making it more on every kind of machine.
And the password thing that's on my iPhone, I didn't set up.
Oh, you didn't? All right. Well, that'll make it easier.
Because what if I have my phone in the office and I need you to get something? You can't get on my phone.
Right. I don't know how to use my own phone. You think I know how to use your phone? Come on.
Bridget, what's coming up on the CNET update for today at CNET.com?
Well, there are a few things. Amazon is kind of getting into like the home shopping network game. They have their own live show debuting tonight where, you know, you kind of watch the show on the web and then go buy the stuff on Amazon. God. And they have hosts that are from like MTV and stuff.
Oh, that's
so
genius.
We'll have to see how that goes. And, you know, speaking of the security stuff too, people are talking about how for the first time you can use Apple Pay to pay for gas at ExxonMobil stations. So it's different. There's like more places kind of embracing this pay with your phone in a secure way, but you need to have like your fingerprint, you know, on your phone. So it's for the newer models.
All right. This app, Amazon TV, seems crazy to me because that's the whole joy and the fun of Amazon. You just go click what you want, bing, bang, boom, you're done.
Right.
You don't have to deal with somebody saying, and here, you would like to have this.
Mm-hmm.
This is like going backwards, isn't it?
You know, I guess they're looking to, like, there's a trailer online, and it's like these young hosts, and they're really fast-paced about it, and it's, I guess it's for, you know, when you want to go to Best Buy because you want to see what the product is like, sometimes a photo isn't enough. Maybe this is their way of kind of saying, hey, this is how you can use this product, and instead of, like, making you maybe go in person to a store to shop and then, you know, buy it later on Amazon, they want to kind of make you feel like you could just buy it right now.
All right.
Show you how it works, you know, I guess.
We won't be watching. Thank you so much, Bridget.
Thanks, Bridget.
Appreciate it.
Have a great week.
Thanks.
All right, that's Bridget Carey from CNET. We'll take a quick break, and then Steve has the news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy here on 720 WGN. I have to tell you, when I became a mom 16 years ago for the first time, it became a hobby. I read every book on parenting. I read Parenting Magazine. What to expect when you're expecting.
Sure.
What to expect the first month. What to expect the second month. I mean, I read all these books and tried to become an expert. And I still probably am one of the worst parents
around.
Oh,
no. There's worse than you somewhere.
Well, we have a journalist whose writing has appeared in Parenting, Pregnancy, other publications. Her first book was It's Okay Not to Share and Other Renegade Rules for Raising Competent and Compassionate Kids. And now her follow-up, It's Okay to Go Up the Slide. We have Heather Shoemaker on the line with us. Hi, Heather.
Good morning.
All right. So we always have tried to be the best parent we can be, and we want our kids to be really nice, but maybe that's not as important as we think. Can you explain a little bit about this It's Okay to Go Up the Slide?
Yes. Well, this book is taking a lot of things that we just assume as parenting wisdom that's been passed on through the generations, like go down the slide, climb up the stairs, safety first, don't talk to strangers, do your homework. But this book is questioning that and turning these ideas on their head.
But how can you do this, Heather? These rules have been in place since forever.
I know. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I love to cling to what's familiar. And a lot of us will just repeat what our parents said before us because it's what we know. Not everybody reads all the books as you did. Some of us dip into some of them. But no matter how many we read, we do tend to just repeat what happened to us, or we go zoom in the opposite direction and try to do the opposite of what our parents did with us.
All right, there's a chapter in here. Is it a chapter that says you don't have to kiss grandma or something along those lines?
Yes.
It's okay not to kiss grandma. All right, here is something that I would like to say. I have two boys. They're very different. One is very outgoing and loud, and the other one is a little more reserved. And I think back to when he was little, and he used to kind of hide behind me a little bit when he would meet people. Once you get to know him, he's fine, but he's a little reserved when he meets someone. And just recently, a cousin I hadn't seen in quite a long time says, oh boy, Dylan has really grown up. He never used to talk to me before. But all kids are different, and I would always try to say hello, go
right,
say hello.
Sure.
Should you push your kid to do that?
Yeah, well, as you say, just within your own family, kids come so differently. And when we're on the spot as a parent and we feel as if we need to have our kids be polite, and especially when we're greeting people, there's a big pressure that, you know, parents feel it. Oh, my gosh, my kid's being rude. My kid's being too shy. What are they going to think about me? And we do want them to you know, go up and greet somebody. But kids are going to be different about this. The important thing is to keep modeling how you greet people, and eventually the child will come and do that, but on their own time. And that's especially hard for a doting grandmother to understand, that maybe a child doesn't want to be slathered in kisses right now, and it's a basic right a child has to say, I don't want to be touched.
How about a nice firm handshake for grandma? Doesn't that get the trick done?
Yeah.
You guys, I had my poor...
They have alternatives.
My Aunt Phoebe, God rest her soul,
yeah,
had, you know, being half Italian, the Italian part was our mustaches. And she shaved. She didn't wax. And every time I had to kiss poor Aunt Phoebe,
yeah,
it hurt.
You got a little stubble?
So I didn't want to kiss Aunt Phoebe.
Oh.
But, you know, I think a lot of times parents parent to make themselves look better in front of other people rather than just a parent. Would you agree with that, Heather?
Yeah, I think parents feel tremendous pressure, and whether it's standing there in front of Aunt Phoebe or whether it's at the playground with the slide controversy or whether it's trying to make sure the kids do their homework because what would the teacher think? You know, there's so many ways that we push our kids because we're worried about what other adults are going to think of us.
Heather, what about just the basics? You know, every parent drills into their child, you know, say please, say thank you. What do you say? You know, somebody hands you something, you go, what do you say? Thank you. Is that still intact or has that changed?
Well, we do need to teach our kids social conventions, you know. Pleases are important in society. It helps us all get on with each other. But kids will pick this up from modeling. And if you feel as if your child isn't picking it up, you can start to say, you know, now you've seen that this is what we do. You need to start doing it, too, because you're old enough.
But yeah.
It's going to depend on each child, and some kids are going to take longer.
All right. In the terms of, and again, we all do what we can as parents. I never babysat. I didn't know what to do. And some wise woman I worked with when I first had my kids said, just love them and try your best. And I really think that's great advice. My kids are lucky enough not to have lost anyone to death that's important to them at this point, knock on wood, or for Micah. I had a lot of great aunts and uncles that died when I was young. My dad died when I was 10. I got kind of used to it. So when a mother of their preschool teacher died, I suggested they come to the wake with me. So it was an older person to say she led a good life,
mm-hmm.
and two, someone that they didn't know personally. What are your thoughts on wakes and funerals and things like that?
Yeah, well, the whole topic of death is one that we tend to like to dodge as much as possible, especially when it comes to kids. But I think you're right on. It's able to introduce kids to the ideas of life cycles and mortality, and even young children, you know, preschoolers. This is when they first really get it, that they are going to die someday and that mom and dad are going to die someday. This is big news. And that's why some of their imaginative play involves being a dead guy and then getting up again and trying it out. You know, they're figuring this out. Not all kids are going to be interested or comfortable being at a funeral, and it may not be the right place for your kid, but it depends. And if it's the right thing, certainly talk about death, read books about death, poke dead birds and dead worms that you find, and talk about it.
Now, along those same lines, there's a chapter in here, Heather, about how parents should deal with news disasters with their kids. That has a lot to do with the age of the child and how much they can process, doesn't it?
Well, your answers are going to have to be age-appropriate.
Sure.
No matter what you're talking about. And when you're talking about big topics, that's even more important. But if a three-year-old has a question, and believe me, kids have their radar out, so if there's something big going on in the news, they may know more or be somewhat misinformed than you think about what's going on. So if a child is old enough to ask, she's old enough to get an honest answer.
All right. It's okay to go up the slide, Heather Shoemaker. Her first book, It's Okay Not to Share. We were talking about this off the air.
Oh, we need to discuss this.
Can we take a break?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Bill and I, well, I will share with anyone. Bill does not share.
I'm not a good sharer. No.
But it's okay.
Right. All right. We'll talk about that. If you have any questions or comments, reach us at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Heather Shoemaker is our guest. She is the author of It's Okay to Go Up the Slide, Renegade Rules for Raising Confident and Creative Kids. We'll talk about that and her previous book, It's Okay Not to Share. Wendy and I are dramatically opposed on sharing. But you had a story for Heather you wanted to throw her way.
When we learned this on the air that I grew up and played with, there were mostly boys in the neighborhood. So I had my own little matchbox car, garage, my little case, Hot Wheels. I was a tomboy, still am to this day. Conversely, there is a friend of mine's kid who had a purse a lot, and the mom didn't seem to care, but it bothered the dad a little bit. Like, why does my son have a purse? And the mom would be like, oh, God, don't worry about it. We're just, you know, they're kids. Now, what about this? Do you think, I mean, we should just let kids play, right? Does it matter if a guy has a purse or if a girl plays with matchbox cars?
Yeah, you're going to love the chapter in my first book. It's called Boys Can Wear Tutus. You know, this kind of play, it's something the kids are just figuring out. They're interested. Sometimes boys, particularly young boys, are interested in what it's like to be female because if you look at it, even though there's more stay-at-home dads than there used to be, young boys and girls are surrounded by females. The moms, the preschool teachers, the babysitters tend to be female. And so a lot of them are curious, what's it like to be a girl? And they try things out, whether it's putting on the tutu or carrying the purse.
You know, it's funny you say that because one of my sons had some issues, not issues, but had a difficult time in elementary school where a lot of times the teachers didn't get him. And now he's in junior high. And when we spoke to the school districts, they said it's not very uncommon because think about it. Almost every teacher in elementary school is a woman. So for a boy, it's a little different. And teachers do treat boys and girls differently.
Yeah,
I will
give
you that. So now homework comes into play. Bill and I were just discussing this off the air. For instance, math homework, if you're studying one chapter and you don't get it, yes, you have to keep practicing. But all of a sudden, it seems in math, something clicks and you're like, I got that. So I have told my sons that, you know, if they have 50 questions, but something has clicked, just do something. Just do, you know, 10 or 15 questions. Because if you get it, you get it. Because I am enraged by all the homework these kids have. Am I a bad mom? Well, Bill's shaking his head yes.
Yes, you are a bad mom.
Not for that, I guess.
No, for other reasons.
Better. But, you know, what you're displaying is called common sense. And not enough people trust their gut to do it. You know, you can do every other problem. You can put the kids to bed if they need to. You can say, you know, you've done this long enough, go outside and run around. I mean, the parents are in charge of the family, and if they think that this isn't needed to help their kid, there's no reason that you can't enter in some common sense there. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Heather, the first book you wrote, It's Okay Not to Share. Wendy and I have discussed this at great lengths, when it is and it is not appropriate to teach your kids sharing. I understand that sharing is very important, but as the title would imply...
Bill's selfish. Let me just start by saying this,
well,
Heather.
I'm an adult for the most part, and like if I got a new car, I wouldn't just share it with my neighbor couldn't come over and just ride in it.
Right.
Right?
You've put your finger on things that as adults we think, oh, well, kids need to share as soon as they can walk. But we ourselves, we wouldn't let our neighbor, even if we knew them for many years and it wasn't a new car, we often don't share important things like that. And for kids, a lot of the things they're holding in their hand at that very moment is important to them.
It means the world to them.
Yeah. And so what we're trying to do is encourage generosity, but it backfires because it's usually 5 more minutes and then it's Joey's turn, or you've had it long enough, I'm going to take it out of your hand and give it to the next kid. And that makes people feel terrible. What we're wanting is for the child to develop inner generosity and that joy that comes when you really feel good about sharing with somebody. And so to do that, we need to allow the child to finish playing with what she's playing with and set some limits, like, this, I'm not done yet. You can have it when I'm done. That's called, you know, setting some personal boundaries. And then the other child who's waiting, it's good for them to wait and deal with that difficult emotion of waiting and frustration and anger and jealousy. We need practice dealing with those tough emotions. And say to the waiting kid, boy, you're mad. You really want that blue truck right now, and Andy's playing with it. So grappling with that, and then the kids can get this system of child-led turn-taking. When she's done, you can have it.
I'm so on your side, and I don't like that Andy kid you just referred to at all. Do not like
can
that.
Can I just say, listening to Heather Shoemaker explain this, you're absolutely right, and I tease Bill because he doesn't share. He doesn't, like, if we get Chinese food, he won't share. But see, now I do share, not because I feel guilty, but because I get great joy in saying, oh my God, this is so good, why don't you try it? So if you want to share, feel free.
Yes, and some things, and young children can share, you know, they can share cake, birthday cake together, but they have a hard time sharing a toy. They need to take turns with the toy.
I don't even like Sonny and Cher, I'll be honest with you.
Heather, I have not had time to read this book cover to cover, and I've flipped through some of the chapters, well, but I'm...
Want to borrow mine?
No!
You can't. It's mine.
You're an ass. Do you know that? All right. And here's the thing. I have two ADHD boys, so this is right up my alley because my kids go up the slide more than they go down. And in this day and age, it's the schools put you in this cookie cutter mold that if you do something differently, you're singled out, either a troublemaker or you have issues. And neither are true for my kids.
Yeah, it's perfectly normal for a kid to go up the slide. I think every child who's ever met a slide has gone up it at some point.
What did you tell me, Bill? There was a slide, a curvy slide somewhere near your house. What did you do? You went up the slide, didn't
you? I used to love to.
You blocked it up.
No, I didn't block it up. I would only do it when there weren't kids coming down because I understand how, you know, how there could be a collision.
Traffic jam.
Yeah, I don't want that. But, yeah, be different, everyone. Why wouldn't you want to be different? That's great.
Yeah, and what kids like that are doing, if a kid is going up the slide, they often have an idea for a game in their mind. You know, they're getting away from the poisonous sea monsters or something, and the kid at the top may be interested in joining into that game. So don't assume as an adult that it's going to be a conflict or there's going to be a trip to the hospital because of this situation. You know, see if the kids can work it out, and if not, you can guide them through some conflict steps. But conflict is not a bad thing.
No.
Kids learn so much, and we need to let them practice it.
But Heather, I want to warn kids who do want to go up the slide, you have to climb up the slide. You can't just sit at the bottom of the slide and expect to just magically go up it because there's gravity and it won't work.
You're a genius. Do you have your Einstein book coming
yes,
out
to
be
yes,
on the shelf
I do.
With Heather's?
Yes, I do.
Heather, there's somebody who just texted us, and this is just old school thinking, and I'm sorry, your mileage may vary when you have children, but it is not okay to go up the slide at any school playground that I know of. Children need to understand there is a difference about slide behavior when there are other children around. The safety is very important. Climbing skills are also very important. I think we're just using this, it's okay to go up the slide, as
a metaphor.
Well, we're using it both ways, I think literally, too, because one thing people are concerned about is awareness of others and politeness, not just basic safety, but, you know, being considerate to the people around you. And that's the thing, is that sometimes what adults view as consideration is totally different than what a child will view as consideration. A child may be very interested in playing with that kid, even if one's going up, one's going down, and they can work it out. If not, you point out the situation. There's a kid wants to come down. You want to go up. What can you do? And they will find a solution. It may not be the one you would have dreamed up, but it'll be one that's more meaningful for them.
So, woman after my own heart, it's okay not to share, and it's okay to go up the slide, and it's okay not to kiss grandma.
Absolutely.
You can go to heathershoemaker.com. That's S-H-U-M-A-K-E-R, heathershoemaker.com. The book is available there and everywhere else. It's okay to go up the slide. Renegade Rules for Raising Confident and Creative Kids. Thanks so much, Heather.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. A quick break. News is next, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You composed yourself?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm all right. We just had Heather Shoemaker on a little while ago. She's the author of several books having to do with parenting. The most recent one is It's Okay to Go Up the Slide. Her previous book, It's Okay Not to Share. And she's saying essentially, Yeah, it's okay for your kid to be a little bit different. They can do things that the other kids aren't doing. Everything will balance out. Everything will be okay.
And she did say to, you know, be aware of your surroundings and be respectful to others. She's not saying be mean and go grab something from somebody.
Right. And if I may, for the record, I'm not totally opposed to sharing. I'm just saying in situations, if a kid is playing with a toy or doing something, you shouldn't just automatically take it away from them and give it to his brother or sister or neighbor. Because that kid earned that toy. That's his toy for the moment. So let him play with it.
You're a good daddy, Bill.
Oh, that's kind of you. We received several texts about whether or not it's appropriate. And sadly, we didn't have time to talk to Heather about this. But whether or not it's appropriate to bring a child to a wake or a funeral. And the thoughts on that are a little confusing for me anyway. You've had some situations, right, where you've had to bring the kids to a wake or a funeral?
Yeah, and I grew up, I know this sounds terrible, but I grew up at wakes and funerals all the time. I mean, my grandmother had six sisters. They lived a full life, but they died when I was younger. And we had a bunch of cousins, Italian, and we went to Vance Funeral Home in Cicero, and we'd go there for the duration. We'd go there from, you know, whenever the visitation started. Was it like noon to nine or something?
And then for the whole thing.
Yeah, because, you know, not that Brookfield was that far from Cicero, but we would just go as a family, and then we'd walk to a little restaurant, Minetti's, and get some pizza, and then go back. And it just kind of seemed like a lot of people died in our family when we were kids, and it was just part of it. They were our great aunts, and we went to the funeral, and the kids would kind of play around. We didn't really understand it. I didn't even really understand it at 10 when my dad died.
I
had seen cousins on my dad's side that I hadn't really gotten to know, and we were playing hide and seek in other caskets in other rooms.
Wow.
I mean, we weren't in the caskets, but we were in the other rooms, like, you know, the rooms that they lay the people out in. We were just kind of, I didn't really understand what was going on.
I remember as a kid, whenever I would go to one, it was, and I have to say it still holds up to this day, it was uncomfortable start to finish. I mean, the whole process to me is a very uncomfortable one. But I always went. Now, I had a cousin. My cousin Kevin is a couple years younger than me, 2 years younger. And I remember when we were kids, most of us, my brother and I, were close in age to most of our cousins. Kevin was never involved in any wakes or funerals. His parents just felt it was better for him, even though he was roughly our age.
How old were you? Are you talking like
7, 8, 9, 10 in there?
Close relatives? Because some of the time, you don't need to bring the kids. It just depends who it is.
It's fairly close. But it to me, it was one of those judgment calls. You know your own kids better than anybody, so you know what they're able to handle and not handle. And maybe he was a little more emotional. I mean, it is one of the most emotional things you'll ever go through is a wake or a funeral. So, I mean,
the wake, though, to me, I know this sounds ridiculous. It's a somber moment when you first walk in, and at the very end when they're closing the casket and stuff. But in the meantime, our family wakes were almost kind of fun. The whole family was there.
That's
you have
perfect.
These memories.
Yeah.
There's a lot of laughter. There's pictures. There's somber moments for sure. But I guess being around wakes so much since I was little, they don't. The shock walking in is very sad, but then that's the survivor's time to hear all these great stories about their loved ones. So to me, a wake is awesome.
I'm with you now. I wasn't always that way, but I think you're seeing now the last several that I've been to. It's much more interactive in terms of there being pictures from that person's life. Sometimes there's video that they show. The last two that I've been to, there's been a video screen that shows kind of a compilation film of that person's achievements, and that's a nice little bonus. You're right about the stories. Absolutely. It's a little less formal than the actual funeral is.
The funeral, that is, I'm just
that
spouting tears.
Yeah.
That's never fun for me. That's somber, and it's supposed to be. It's a send-off. But the wake is for the survivors.
Right.
And to comfort them and really just share wonderful stories.
And I know there will be people saying that it's imperative you bring a kid to this so that the child understands the circle of life. And I get that. But for some kids, for some adults, it's a little too much to endure that, you know? It is.
It is, and it depends on the child. And, you know, if I can say anything about the number of wakes I attended as a child, it made it easier for me as an adult.
Did it? Yeah.
But, you know, it's still, you know, I'm in my 50s. I should get this. But I still, every once in a while, go, now, wait a minute. When someone dies, they're not coming back?
They're not coming back.
Because that's still pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
And in the old days, in older houses, Bob, where was the wake held in your family?
Well, I'm 64, and this is my guy. I grew up in Westchester.
All right.
And we had a big old Sam Insel two flat. And in 1957, my grandmother was waked in the living room.
Wow.
And in 1958, my grandfather was waked in the living room. I mean, we were old, you know, it was Irish. It was a very much of an Irish kind of thing. So on the first floor where they were waked, up on the second floor in my aunt and uncle's unit, was food and the bar and all that kind of stuff.
And, Bob, that didn't ruin the room for you? Like,
No.
When you were, it didn't at all?
I know. It was, from my standpoint, you know, this is the house I was growing up in. My grandmother and grandfather lived in there. They moved there in 48 from Oak Park. So this is where I got to know them. And all my cousins were there. I mean, I had four cousins that lived upstairs on the second floor, and I lived on the first floor. And then all my dad's brothers and sisters, all their kids were all there. I mean, and so it was... it was very much a family thing, and it wasn't sad. It was you know, but it was, my dad happened to be in a related business to the funeral industry, and he felt mom and his mom and his dad should be waked at home like the old days in the Irish funeral home, you know. And that's the way it was.
In Cicero, when my great aunts would be waked, they would, on the way to the cemetery, they would go past the house or the school and that to me is.
It's nice. It's just symbolic.
Is.
Yeah, it works. It's good.
And growing up, and my dad didn't have his own funeral home or anything, but he serviced the funeral homes. And, you know, it was just what he wanted to do, and it was from my standpoint, I never feared about going to a wake, because my first encounter was my grandmother and grandfather.
It worked then. No, success.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Bob. Sorry for all your losses, too.
Yeah. Wow.
But other than your cousin, I think a lot of kids went to wakes. I'm thinking back, all the kids in my family
went
to
wakes. They always attended.
Always.
Yeah.
I've brought my kids to wakes. Thankfully, you know, again, knocking on Formica.
Nobody extremely close
right.
to them.
Right, but yeah. I mean, I would bring them, like I said, the first time was their preschool teacher's mother, who had lived a good life. She was in her 90s. I thought that was a good way to say.
Here's what happens.
This is what happens, you know. But I think at this point, it's not comfortable for people if
sure.
you haven't been to a lot of them, especially open caskets. It's bizarre for people.
Yeah. It is.
I don't want my casket open because no one's going to get my hair and makeup right.
Oh, no, James Spader has died, people will say.
Oh,
all right, we'll take a quick break. Your calls at 312-981-7200. Your calls or texts coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, we're talking about Heather Shoemaker. That was our last guest. She's written a couple books about dealing with kids, including...
I don't know where you were going.
How to deal with a funeral situation for children. Do you bring them to a wake? Do you bring them to a funeral? It's awkward, but I guess it's one of those facts of life that a child should know about, but the key is knowing exactly when.
And I really am thinking back to a time when I was a kid. Kids went to wakes. I mean, really.
They still do.
I feel like parents are maybe getting a babysitter more.
Well, maybe.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Judy, what about you?
When my husband died several years ago, my grandchildren, the younger ones, were 5, 6, and 9, or 8. And instead of just making it matter of fact, they had seen Grandpa 4 days before he died, knew he was sick. And instead of just coming to the funeral home and bringing the children to see Grandpa in the open casket, he looked much better there than he did 4 days before. They had a serious talk with them the night before and gave them a choice. Did they want to go see Grandpa in the casket or did they not? And the two older ones decided they did not, and the mother did not ever go up either. And the young one got curious, and he went up, and he looked, and he walked out again. It was no big deal. And for the service, they sat in the room next to where he was, even though the casket was closed, and never saw him. And to this day, my daughter is very upset with that part of the family.
Because they didn't see him?
Because they didn't look at Grandpa.
Can I tell you something? She shouldn't be. When my dad passed away, he had gone to a hospital to get some medical procedure done that obviously did. Actually, the medical procedure was successful. However, he died afterwards.
Yeah.
When he was brought back here to Brookfield to be laid out, my mom and brother decided to see him with the casket open, and it was my older sister who said, do you want to remember him how you remember him, or do you want to look at him now? And I said, I'm going to go with remembering how I remembered
yeah.
him. So I believe my brother and mother looked at the open casket, then it was closed, and then my sister and I went.
It's a good way of handling it, but he just looked so much better.
And when someone's so sick, Judy,
You know, when he was in the casket, then he did the 4 days previous, and it's a shame that it created a problem in our family, but that was their choice. It really, I didn't care. I mean, I was busy with other things.
Yes, absolutely. And, Sorry for your loss, Judy.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Judy.
Is that right? Or, I mean, should you, like with my daughter being very angry still at her sister-in-law.
That's not worth being angry over.
No, it's such a personal thing, yeah. And maybe the kids just weren't ready for that.
Yeah.
Judy's,
well, it's all done and over. And,
right.
You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Things can be healed, though. Thank you so
much, Judy. Could you
do me
a favor? Could you take Sue? I'm so curious as to what happened here. She's on line 5.
Hey,
Hi.
Sue, what happened? Hi.
Okay. I love your show. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Really quickly, I was 6, and my grandfather died, and he was this powerful judge in Chicago, and we were all scared to death of him. He died at 92 in his sleep, and I come from an Irish family, and my mother was like, okay, here's the deal, guys. Grandpa died. He's in heaven. It's a normal part of life. Let's go to the wake. So
very matter-of-factly.
But you know what, Wendy? We did. We went to wakes and funerals because it was just a fact of life.
You went as a family.
Exactly, and you got something to eat, and you went back.
That's it.
I'm talking to my brothers, who are 12 years older and 5 years older. It was the middle one that tormented me. And all of a sudden, I feel like this little tug in my earlobe, like a loving. My grandma's like, come on, honey. And she leads me up to the casket. I still today remember this. And I've been through death with personal family members. It's nothing like that. And there's my grandfather, and I'm like, oh. And she's like, give him a kiss, honey. I'm like, no, I really don't want. She's like, give him a kiss, honey. So I gave him a kiss on his cheek. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's like cement. And, of course, my middle brother's whispering in my ear, Grandpa's coming to get you.
Oh, great.
Well, my
That's
mom,
fun.
Like, flying across the funeral room. She's like, Mom. And, you know, I didn't cry or anything, but she could tell the look on my face was
It's traumatic.
I'm never getting over this.
Yeah.
And at night, I couldn't sleep. I was, like, sleeping between my parents all night. And she talked to my grandma about it. She was like, I did not approve that. My grandma's like, oh, get over it, honey. You know, and I just... No, when my mother died, our kids were 2 and babies, and they did not come. And I even had family members like, they should be here.
Yeah.
They should be here.
Yeah.
So I think it's personal.
It is, whatever
family does.
Sue, I'm sorry you went through that. That's great. That is not a good story.
It wasn't a fun thing.
No.
I just wanted to let you guys know, and I love you, I love you, I love you.
You're the best.
Love you, Sue.
Thank you, Sue.
I hate to bring up my Aunt Phoebe again.
But you can.
But when her husband Alvaro died.
Yes.
She pulled him so far out of the casket by hugging him and kissing him as it was time to close the casket.
Yeah.
My dad had to say, Phoebe, come on. I don't really remember this, but this is the family stories.
Whoa.
She just wouldn't let go of Alvaro.
Understood. You know, you get it, right? We'll take a quick break, and then Steve will tell us what is coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
We touch the dead in our
Talk
family.
About a guy you can't let go of. It's Steve Bertrand coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill and Wendy. Hi, everybody.
Steve Bertrand. He does it
every
time.
He's out to get us. He's out to sabotage us.
He twists our knobs.
Oh, does he ever.
Shame on him.
Yep.
All right. Well, Kim Gordon has a new WGN exclusive series called Who Does That? And what does that mean exactly?
Don't you ever go somewhere and just wonder, like, how something happens or somebody's job is really cool, and you go, who does that?
All day, all every time. Day.
Yep. So that's what we're going to do.
Yep.
We are starting a bi-monthly series that's going to look at who does that, who does really cool jobs. So tonight is our first one that's airing on Justin Kaufman's show. Then we are going to air the next one tomorrow morning, the same one. We'll repeat it tomorrow during the morning bell, and then we have a really cool extended look at jobs on our video, on our website, with like a 5-minute video as to these neat jobs. So the first one that we've highlighted is actually, we went to the Chicago Botanic Garden and went behind the scenes as to who picks the spring palette, who picks the spring colors, and how they decide
how
this beautiful garden gets designed, how these beautiful gardens. So it was really, really cool, and you'll have to tune in and listen, but takes a lot of people to make that place as beautiful as it is.
What were the criteria by which you decided which jobs would be included in these pieces?
Well, we kind of actually sat in here and goes, okay, what do you guys think of this? What do you think of this? What do you think of this? And we're all like, oh, wow, that's just so cool. So it was kind of like a cool factor.
Yeah.
When we're just kind of talking about it, just, you know, making our decision. But we'd also love listeners' input, because there are so many cool jobs out there. If people have an idea, have a friend, or have a really cool job themselves, we'd love to know about it. They can email me at news@wgnradio.com, and we'd love to hear suggestions.
This sounds great. All right.
It I would really definitely does. Listen to
this. You know, it reminds me of every year around St. Patrick's Day, they always have, I see this guy on the news every year.
Is he a leprechaun?
No, he's not a leprechaun, I don't think.
Who does that?
He's the guy who dyes the river green.
Oh, that's on our list.
Is that on your list?
Yeah, that's been on our list.
Yeah. That's.
I don't want to reveal some of the others.
No, don't give you enough.
Yeah, we've got some really exciting ideas. And the thing is there are so many really cool jobs that are also just so centric to Chicago, you know, that people, even visitors or people who live here, always wonder, who does that? Yeah. How does that happen?
So, go on.
For a while, we had the Oscar statues. That would have been a good one, but they don't have them anymore.
Yeah. The guys who are in the Wrigley Field scoreboard who would put the numbers up manually.
You've wanted that job, haven't you?
I wouldn't mind a job like that.
I got to tell you, not in August at, you know, 100 degrees, right. 100% humidity.
Right, I'm sure it's beautiful in that little room.
Bill would like to pick and choose which days he does it.
Right. On a more tempered day, I would do it, but the rest of the time, it would be like that room in the movie room where you're just stuck in there going, am I ever going to get out of this thing?
It is such a great idea, though, Kim, because, I mean, I love radio, and I wanted to be in radio since I was in sixth grade, so I kind of knew what I wanted to do. But at one point in my head, I was like, who does that? Who gets to do that?
Yeah.
So what a great feature, and I'm bummed we're not hearing it now. We have to wait till tonight when Justin Kaufman plays it.
And then, you know, what's really cool is that we've been able to add this video component to it. So not only can you get a more extensive look at the job, but you can see, you know, behind the scenes of some of these really cool places that you may not normally get to look at.
Several times in my life I've watched window washers on some of the sky rises here in the city, and
that's under
myself,
who would do that, not who
that's
does
right
that.
Crazy
who
enough to
in
do
the
that.
Right mind. I can't think of a dollar amount. Like, if they said to me, we'll give you $100,000 a day and all you have to do is go to the top of the, you know, the Willis Tower or the Hancock and clean those windows, it's $100,000 a day, I'd go, yeah, you know, I can't. I wish we could work something out, but I don't see it. Sorry.
That may not be on my list because my palms are just sweating right, right now thinking about it. If I had to go up in one of those things, I'm not sure I could do that.
Yeah. It's up for everybody.
Yeah, there is no way. I can't look down on a railing in our loft sometimes in our house, and it's not even really that far down.
Have you ever seen, I don't know who these guys are, but they go all around the world, and there's a name for what they do. There's two names. There's the real name, and there's the name I have, which is stupid. And what they do is, they take those GoPro cameras and they go up to high buildings and they climb up to the highest point of the highest buildings, like the steeples. They go all the way up and then they take pictures or videos of themselves at the very top of these things. And I have no idea what has to be in you to be able to pull that off, because I don't have any of that.
Well, there are some people that don't get bothered by heights,
I guess. But you even if you're not afraid of heights, you have to realize there's a wind factor, or there's just an oops factor where you think you know what you're doing and then you just move it the wrong way. And
you haven't seen that slideshow of, you know, people's last moments on Earth when they do these selfies in weird spots like that and then they die?
Yeah, yeah, that's not for
and
everybody.
And who puts that up then?
The ones who don't make it, you mean? I don't know.
Well, who puts that video up? I mean, I'm sure the family's not saying, yeah, go ahead, put it on the slideshow.
I don't know who's responsible for that. I don't know.
This whole world is going to hell in a handbasket.
Yes, in a handbasket.
What
Maybe
is a handbasket?
You should have the people on who make handbaskets.
Yeah, well, actually, it sounds like you guys need to get a list together for me because you got a lot of good ideas.
Oh,
I'll
thank
take
you.
Them.
Thank you. Yeah.
And once again, if listeners have ideas, maybe they have a job that people say, wow, that is so bizarre. How do they get a hold of you?
News@WGNradio.com.
All right. That's easy enough. Thanks, Kim. Good luck with this. It sounds like a lot of fun.
And the video should be up tomorrow.
All right. We'll be looking for that.
Thanks.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we have a big show for you. So stay exactly where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Want to join in? You can. 312-981-7200. That's the phone line. That's the text line.
And get yourself some cheap sunglasses today, because that sun is out. All right.
This weather is perfect.
It's really gorgeous out there.
This is how International Women's Day should be.
I got the fever, Bill. I got the fever.
How could you not?
My son Dylan yesterday said, Mom, it smells like spring. Mm-hmm. And it really is starting to.
Mm-hmm. It is. What does that mean? I don't know what it means, but it does smell like
it
spring.
It smells moist.
Yeah. That's very accurate. Yeah.
It smells.
We move to further action in the same series of play.
It does. It smells like green and moisture, and the grass is coming alive. It smells like that.
Yeah, he's right. He called it. He's right. You know who I give some credit to, Wendy? There's a woman.
Steve Bertrand?
I like to give credit to Steve Bertrand whenever I can, but I also give credit, in addition to Steve, to a woman who's been driving around New York with a license plate, a New York state license plate, that she made out of cardboard. She took a little square of cardboard, not a square,
rectangle. Who does that job?
I don't know who does that job. But she's been driving around. She gave herself a fake license plate number. She made it look like she has the same color scheme as a New York State license plate. It's got a band on the top with the state of New York, and then it says Empire State underneath, and then, as you would imagine, some various letters and numbers. But she drove around for a while, and then police pulled her over and made her realize that that's a felony. You're not allowed to do that. You can't just make a license plate out of cardboard and magic markers. It says here in the story, a New York woman who got a little too confident in her crafting skills now faces felony charges after she was caught, and they have to say allegedly driving. I don't know why they would say allegedly. I'll show you a picture. That's a fake license plate. That's not alleged. That's made of cardboard. You can't. I
and
know
not,
the difference.
Not even a laminated thick cardboard, like fiberboard. No, it's just like a wrinkly piece of cardboard from a box.
She also didn't, like, if I were doing this, back when I had my fake license plate business, I would stencil the letters. I'd use a stencil so that they looked like regular license plate letters. Hers looked like, remember when the Little Rascals would put on a show and some of the letters were backwards and forwards and some were bigger and some were smaller? That's the way she did it. Erie County Police pulled over the 28-year-old woman, Amanda Schweikert, on Wednesday morning after they noticed what looked like a preschooler's art project on the back of her vehicle.
Yeah, it's not very good. If you're going to fake a license plate, I mean, when I made fake IDs, they looked awesome.
Yeah, yeah. They pulled over her vehicle. Schweikert was charged with one felony count of possessing a forged instrument, according to ABC news affiliate WHAM 13, WHAM. That's where Andrew Ridgely is. He's doing news for them.
No, I think that's WHAM.
Is it WHAM?
Yeah.
She was also accused of driving with a suspended registration. Well, why didn't she fake that? Why, that'd be easier to fake than a license plate.
Except it was cardboard.
Yeah, there's that. She now faces three vehicle and traffic offenses. There's more to the story, but I have to tell you this. I would say once every other week or every third week, I encounter somebody driving near me that has no license plates on their cars at all. Not just fake cardboard ones, but they just don't have license plates.
Even they don't even have the cardboard license applied for
thing? No, nothing.
Well, that's illegal. Call them in, but how can you identify the car because there's no plate?
That's the problem, is if I called up and I said it's a brown car. Could you just bring those guys to justice? I wouldn't know what else to do. There's no plate. But I've been pulled over for having a third of an inch scratch on my windshield. I've been pulled over for crazy things, but how do you drive around with any regularity and just go, yeah, I don't need a license plate?
That's a great question.
I don't get it. The Erie County Sheriff's Office posted a friendly reminder on their Facebook page to never, ever try this, meaning drive around with a cardboard license plate. Needless to say, cardboard license plates and magic markers will never be enough to make a convincing license plate, no matter how crafty you are.
Well, not a New York one, but maybe Illinois.
Right. Yeah, ours is easier, I think. Right. Yeah, Land of Lincoln is
they're
easier.
More battered.
No, but there's a hologram on the plate, too, isn't there?
There no. I don't I think there's on your license there is.
I know that. I don't know. Now I can't remember
plate?
What my plate looks like.
I don't think
like.
There is on
no,
your...
No, there's not.
No.
Well, you know, Bill, I think it's your attitude. Like, if you drive around like you're not, you know, going to get pulled over...
Then you don't. You don't.
You know all this scare about the stickers and not getting warnings and everything?
Yeah.
So I went home one day after doing the story. I'm like, all right, kids, family, we're going to look at all of our cars. We're going to check our stickers. I bought a car last March or February. I hadn't had a sticker on it. A sticker, not even an outdated one. Nothing on it all
Zero.
Year long. All year
what
long.
You didn't get pulled
you?
Over once?
Didn't get pulled over one time. Now, if I had known, I'd have been pulled over the next day. I was scared to death.
How does the law of averages are at some point a police officer will pull you over?
Yeah.
Did I tell? I know I've told you, Wendy. I don't think I told you, Steve. When mine expired, and again, we told you the story a couple of months ago that for years and years and years, the state sent you a reminder saying your sticker's about to expire, but now they don't anymore. You can sign up to get an email, but I wasn't aware of that. I don't think a lot of people were aware you could sign up for a reminder. So within a couple of days of my license, my sticker expiring on my driver's on my plate, I got pulled over twice within 3 days, and in both points, I said to the cop in both cases, "You have amazing eyes," and I didn't mean that sexually. Wendy, you know that I was just saying. Although one of them thought I did because he said, "Well, it's genetic," and
it's
I go, "No, that's
color,
not what I mean."
Though.
Well, yeah, but. You know, I'm driving down a street at 40 miles an hour, and there's a cop not even looking, and he somehow notices that the
RoboCop,
that
hello?
Little one-inch square is the wrong color. That's amazing to me.
Well, I'm sure they say they find out. Like, I haven't got my new one yet, so cops do not follow me home. I think it expired March 1st. I don't know what the new colors are, but say they're orange. If they see something that's not orange, they're gonna make sure they're gonna run the plate first of all. Find
yeah,
out who you
so.
Are, and yeah. And doesn't it say on there if you updated it? I'm sure it does.
I would imagine that's probably what happens.
Because
yeah,
they
I
could
would
look
think.
Expired,
right.
You know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So they're not zooming in. Beep, 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 beep,
I was
beep, beep,
so
beep,
complimentary
beep.
In both cases, just admiring their work, going, yeah, a guy like me shouldn't be driving around. My thing expired 4 days ago. I commend you. I applaud
I'm
it.
I'm a scofflaw.
I am. I'm a human scofflaw.
That's a fun word.
Yes.
It's a good drink, too.
Yes.
Tony, you know some information here because Bill has mentioned he's seen cars without any kind of plate.
Every couple of weeks I see
I
that.
Never.
I don't know, but I'm wondering if it's more of a felony to not have a license plate at all or make one up.
Oh, that is a good question.
Well, in the case of the woman in New York, they point blank said, this is a felony. You can't be riding around with a cardboard license plate, but you're right. Try it this way.
I've seen when you buy a new car, you don't have to have a license plate right away. I mean, you got to bring it home.
Right.
But you get, they put
but
that.
You got the stick. You
yeah.
got the receipt saying you just bought it.
Right.
You know.
And don't they put the little cardboard license applied for with the made up numbers?
I've seen that a bunch of times.
I don't think they do that anymore. I think there's another way that they do it. Actually, the currency exchanges carries license plates, so they just issue you one right away.
Oh. Yeah. The last time they did that, the Doobie Brothers were on the radio.
Oh, that's
Wendy.
Funny. On A-Track. Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, Tone. Appreciate it.
Taking it to the streets.
I saw one yesterday.
Dude, I love that song.
Shut up.
Remember when they transitioned over, because there was a time where you had to get a new license plate every year, right? And then they came up with the idea of putting the sticker on the license plate, and that would save us all a lot of money.
But it
and
didn't.
And then
really.
It didn't at all. It's more now to get the sticker than it used to cost for license plates.
And the prisoners don't have anything to do while they're
bored.
In prison. They can't make the plates.
They're bored now. The prisons don't. They have nothing to do in the prisons now. Sad. I want to find this woman and see if she'll make me cardboard plates go, because I have a car, my wife has a car, and then my daughters share a car. We have three cars in our family. I want to see if her work would transfer to Illinois. I got to find this woman.
Wouldn't it be cool if you used a real plate and have her make you a car?
Yes.
All right, I'm with Steve.
Even better. Even better.
I take my shout out back. Keep talking.
All right, a quick break. Steve with the news, and then a lot more fun coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. And I recently started going to an acupuncturist.
About a month ago, a little less than a month ago,
About
a week back. remind me again, because I know you've been going fairly regularly, right? A couple times a week, twice a week.
Yeah. You know, I don't know much about Eastern medicine. But I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
I did karate for a while, and I really liked the whole yin and yang of karate.
Those are your doctor's names?
Oh. No, they're not. But I got into the whole Eastern culture.
Yeah.
And I had some... All right, here's the deal. I clench my jaw completely.
When you sleep?
When I
normally,
sleep.
Yeah.
I don't grind my teeth. I just...
Yeah.
And I find myself doing it, like, if I drive home and there's a thunderstorm or if there's a lot of snow. It's whenever I'm tense, I really my jaw muscle has gotten as big as a pit bull's.
Really?
And
that's crazy. What's doing? Do you know
stress.
What it is? Is it stress?
It's
yeah?
just I have a lot of anxiety.
Oh.
So I thought, you know, I've heard there are ways to get Botox in that jaw muscle
yeah.
to relax it, to paralyze it, and to stop the clenching. But I said, you know, I'm going to try acupuncture first.
Mm-hmm.
And I have gone for the last 4 weeks, twice a week.
Yeah.
I
clench
kid
free?
You not,
are you clench
I have
free?
Not been clenching my jaw.
How about that?
Now, I don't know much about Eastern medicine. I know that my acupuncture doctor is basically all Eastern medicine, but I know that Western medicine and Eastern medicine are now going hand in hand. And on the line with us right now is Dr. Radha Gopalan. And Dr. Gopalan is you're trained in internal medicine, cardiology, heart rhythm disorders, heart transplant, but you're also into acupuncture and yoga and meditation. Is that correct?
You're right, Wendy.
So yeah. The yin and the yang are coming together in your case, and I just recently started going to get acupuncture treatments, and I've had some strange things happen to me. I've been cupped.
You have been cupped. For people who don't know, explain this.
Yes,
this sounds,
explain this, doctor.
This is
cupping.
Weird.
Cupping is where you use what you know normally... glass bowls, and then you evacuate the air by either holding a little bit of fire in it or using a vacuum, and then place it on the skin, usually in the muscular areas, happens to be on the upper back or the thighs, back of the thighs, and you suck out the air, and then the cups actually pull the skin inside of them and then drain the blood from that area. And then when you release the vacuum and take the cups away, blood rushes to that area. The idea behind that is to cause, in Western medicine, what we call hyperemia, that means increased blood flow, flush out the toxins in that area. The belief in acupuncture is because most of your energy, the acupuncture energy, circulates beneath the skin, beneath in the subcutaneous tissue, in the planes between the muscles, and you need to clear that up so that the energy can flow unimpeded in a smooth fashion.
Okay, and I also had gua sha performed on my back and upper back because that's where I was very, very, very tense. And as Bill is my witness, you saw my back.
Ah, you Wendy had a map of Portugal on her back, Dr. Gopalan. That's not normal, is it?
It is. Usually normal from an Eastern perspective. It is okay to have it.
It looked like I was whipped, and
yeah.
then I had these circular things. Now, conversely, I went yesterday to my acupuncturist, and I got the cupping done, and there is absolutely no mark at all. So are my toxins gone?
You are getting relieved with your toxins, and you're right. So in those areas, the toxins gone, that's what the acupuncturist will tell you. And they're right when they make that observation. That's how they guide and transition the therapies.
Now, people might think this sounds crazy, and Bill, I know that you don't know a lot about acupuncture, nor do I.
I don't know anything about it.
But now here you have the best of both worlds. You have a cardiologist, an internal medicine doctor.
Yeah.
And yet you're doing acupuncture as well. It's real, isn't it?
It is real, Wendy. And I think this is a great segue into what I can explain to you about the book that I wrote. But let me tell you, for jaw cleansing, if you went to a Western doctor with this issue and told them exactly what you just discussed, saying, I tense up and I get nervous, and when I get nervous, I clench my jaw, they will tell you, you know, you need to reduce your anxiety. And if you said, I am very anxious, it's disrupting my activities in daily life, they will give you what we call an anxiolytic, an anti-anxiety pill that you will take. And you're going to take a chemical, and that comes with its own side effects. But it looks like you did the right thing by going to an acupuncturist, and you did it, you kind of got rid of the problem to some extent in the natural way.
But Dr. Gopalan, the first one you described with the pill, that's a temporary fix. Is the acupuncture also a temporary fix, or is that it forever?
In my personal opinion, the acupuncture is also a temporary fix.
It is.
Nevertheless, if the acupuncturist moves on, the question to ask is this: why is Wendy reacting the way she's reacting to external stimulus?
Because I work with Bill every day, and he stresses me out.
It's all on me.
There.
Actually, I have less stress at work than I do at home.
There you go. So the thing is, Wendy, to realize is that it is not just the external stimulus of stress, it's how we perceive the stress. Two different people for the same stress might react two different ways. So what is the difference between the two people? The personality. The people are different, not the stress. That is where my You Power in my book comes in. So
The book is called, by the way, we have Dr. Radha Gopalan on the line with us. The book is called Second Opinion, Eight Deadly Diseases, Western Medicine, Eastern Medicine, You Power. Together they could save your life. Back to you, doctor.
Yeah, so taking your example, Wendy, so if you were sitting with me with this complaint or with this discussion, just like we are having, it's like having a consultation, I would ask you, and ask just like what Bill asked, is this long-lasting to have the acupuncture? You can change the acupuncture therapy to make it long-lasting, where the acupuncturist will change the treatment not to address the effect of the stress that you have, but to affect the energetic underlying foundation, to change the energetic flow to not react that way to stress.
I feel much more relaxed, honest to God.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's real or not, and some people do not believe in acupuncture, but whether it's real or not, it's working for me, so how does it hurt to do it?
Exactly. If it works, it's real. You may not be able to explain it. That's the criticism I come up, I always face with my colleagues. You cannot explain how it works. There are not enough studies that has documented how it works, so they don't believe in it. But it works for the patients, works differently for different patients. Now, you cannot take an energetic modality and try to fit that into a scientific experiment simply because we just don't have the tools yet. Once we have the tools, we may be able to come up with evidence. But right now, we don't have a lot of evidence for acupuncture. But going back to, Wendy, your issue, I think now you are stuck with acupuncture. If you stop doing the acupuncture...
I don't want to. I'm going every week. I love it.
There you go. Now, may I suggest one more step, another layer to this, is that if you do go to an external counselor...
Oh, a therapist, I do that too. I go everywhere. I'll talk to anybody who will listen
yep.
to me. So let's not focus on my issues. But there's also Tai Chi. I'm going to take a meditation class that my acupuncturist teaches. When I took karate, was really into the whole Eastern medicine thing. It's pretty unique and helpful.
Right.
But now Western medicine, you do both. And I wanted to have you on. Second Opinion, Eight Deadly Diseases. We're going to take a quick break. And then will you come back and go over some of the things in your book for us?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Join us. We've got more ahead. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we are talking to Dr. Radha Gopalan, and he is a cardiologist, trained in internal medicine, cardiology, heart transplant. He's board certified, and he's also board certified in medical acupuncture, certified instructor, and avid practitioner of yoga and meditation. And the book is called Second Opinion, Eight Deadly Diseases, Western Medicine, Eastern Medicine, You Power, Together They Could All Save Your Life. Dr. Gopalan, I have looked through the book. I have not read it yet because we just received it. There are a lot of things that are deadly diseases. You've got, let me see if I can even name some of them. You have diabetes, obesity, cancer. What am I leaving out?
Heart attack, stroke, lung diseases, kidney diseases, liver diseases. So when you put all of them together, these are considered to be the top 10 killers. I went through the list of WHO, which is World Health Organization, of top 10 killers in the world, and looked at the American killers. These are the common ones that are most common in our country as well as in the world. And I picked eight of them out of the 10 to introduce the concept that I describe in the book to my to the readers.
And obesity is a much bigger problem for us here in the United States than it is throughout most of the world, isn't it, Doctor?
It is. It is growing. It is a major problem in this country, and it is spreading to the eastern countries as well. It is a problem in European countries, and it is rapidly growing in the other developing countries.
We have a caller that would like to speak to you, and his name is James. James, this is Dr. Gopalan.
Hello.
Hello, James.
Can you hear? Hey, how's it going? I was just wanting to comment on my grandfather, who was he's a farmer from central Illinois, so not your typical client. But his shoulder was blown out, and every doctor that he went to suggested a surgery to rebuild his shoulder, and he did not like surgery, so he looked for every alternative he could not to do a surgery, and he found acupuncture, and within 6 months, of putting the suction cups on and the electrical stimulus on it, he was able to raise his hand above his head, and before he started, he could not even raise it above his ear.
Wow.
So it was amazing.
Yes, I'm not surprised, James. This is one of the things. Acupuncture takes a longer time, but it works in this kind of musculoskeletal problems.
Yeah, I was asking the doctor then, because I was pretty fascinated with the whole, I was pretty skeptical on it, but he was saying that Western medicine treats the symptoms and Eastern medicine more so treats the cause.
Yes, the way I have described in my book is Western medicine treats the disease, Eastern medicine treats the person. So the attention is directed, we in Western medicine we have to identify a problem, make a diagnosis, give it a name, and then I know what to prescribe. In Eastern medicine, they don't identify a disease. They identify an imbalance, an energetic imbalance, and then they try to balance the energy, and that itself clears up the of the imbalances and clears the illness.
Thank you, James, for your call. We appreciate that. So is it kind of preventative maintenance? Because I do know that insurance now will cover acupuncture and chiropractic treatments.
Yes, Eastern medicine can be used for both. It can be used for preventative medicine to be healthy and maintain health, and it can be used for illnesses to treat the illnesses as well.
Does the AMA, doctor, do they still consider Eastern medicine to be alternative medicine, or is it bracketed now more towards normal medicine?
It is still considered alternative medicine. There is a new factor bill. There is a new kind. Most of the practitioners, like myself, are practicing what is called integrative medicine, where we combine both Western and alternative medicine, which is also called complementary medicine. And then they choose which one to use, either in combination or alone, in their patients based on their degree of illness.
But that's got to be a fairly new concept, right? Because usually you cited one way or the other. It was very rare that you would do both, huh?
Absolutely. It used to be, everyone used to think there is a myth that Eastern and Western medicines are diametrically opposed. That is not true. They can work very well together.
All right. Another thing, I blew out, I've had one knee replacement. I need another one, and I injured it last week. I went and got a cortisone shot, and that helped. But then about 5 days later, it started hurting. I got a treatment yesterday, some gua sha done on my IT band, which is the muscle on your outer thigh, some needles put in my knee, which kind of hurt at the time. I'm telling you, it's 85% better today, and I have an appointment tomorrow. I don't know how it works. I don't question it, but it's something definitely worth looking into.
I agree. I'm glad that you were able to get the relief you got, Wendy.
Where do we find your book? Because really, this is something, high blood pressure. You look through this book, and either you know someone in your family who has one of these things, or you have one of these diseases as well. Where is the best place to find your book, Dr. Gopalan?
The book is available in every store. Their books are sold on the webs, on the retail stores. You know, major chains like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, they all have it. It's available on my website, on two of my websites. One is healthyhuman.us. That is self-explanatory, which is an educational website. The other one is my treatment center. It's called curapersonalis.us, C-U-R-A-P-E-R-S-O-N-A-L-I-S.
All right, we'll put those links on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. One more question for you, and this is Marco. Hi, Marco. This is Dr. Radha Gopalan.
Hey, Doc. How are you? How you doing, Wendy?
Good.
Listen, I just got a question. Does Eastern medicine or acupuncture, will that help, like, depression or bipolar or any kind of, like, mental illness, like semi-psychotic things, just, you know, episodes and stuff like that?
Hello, Marco. The answer to your question is depends on to what degree the person is experiencing the disease. If it is at the initial stages and a milder form, yes, acupuncture can work. But if it is severe, then you have to first treat it with Western medications and then introduce the acupuncture and slowly take them off of the Western medicine.
Okay. I think I got you. You know, like, you know, if you're taking, you know, Xanax, you know, for overwhelming anxiety, you know, and that helps, but kind of like to wean off of that, you know?
Right.
Well, check with your insurance if you have it, and I'm a full believer in it now. I really am.
Yeah,
I had never gone before. I had gone to a chiropractor years ago who had put a couple of needles in. It doesn't hurt. There are some times that I will admit it feels like a zinger, like all of a sudden a needle will go into my foot, and I'll feel it.
Sure.
And I just tell the doctor, and then she's like, oh, that what did she say, that your energy's really high there or something, or lack of energy?
It's called the chi or the qi. It's spelled as C-H-I in Chinese. It's the chi is the name for the energy. So you are making contact with the energy by feeling that.
Well, do you think in the future, Dr. Gopalan, that acupuncture will always actually be needles, or will they use some sort of lasers at some point, or does that become something totally different if they do?
Well, we have used lasers. It is the acupuncture point that matters. How you stimulate the point is a different story. So the needle is one way of stimulating it. You can apply heat to it.
Yeah.
You can use the cupping that I, you know, we discussed earlier. And then you can use laser. In fact, in children, lasers are used to stimulate the acupuncture points.
Oh. Yes. How about that?
So that's already there, Bill.
All right, good. Right, I invented something that's already been invented. That was brilliant of me.
You know what else I'm not really happy with? Well, I'm happy with everything except these are like little tiny round band-aids, and there's like a burr. You know, if you're walking in the field and you get a burr stuck in your sock or something.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about these?
Those needles are used for what we call auricular therapy. You put those needles in the ears, certain points in the ear, and then you leave it there for the person to stimulate it themselves during the day or at night. Used for anxiety, insomnia, if you are unable to sleep, and even to reduce appetite as an appetite suppressant. There are points in the ear you can use with those needles, and then when you feel hungry, you stimulate it and your appetite is reduced.
Do you see what's in my ear right now, Bill? These metal seeds?
I
They're
do.
Like little eyeglass screws. Those can be used as well. I know it sounds ridiculous when I'm saying it out loud.
No, if it works, right?
And somebody texted and said, really? You're putting seeds in your ear? Are you stupid? They're not seeds like a bean.
Right.
They're like little tiny metal screws. What are these used for, Dr. Gopalan?
Those are used for, they are left in place, Wendy, so that the patient can stimulate those points themselves. you know, by gently agitating it. They are used for anxiety. They are used for increased appetite. They are used for insomnia, which is, you know, inability to sleep. They are also used sometimes for depression. And
wow, I have all of the above. So, and I really, I honestly feel
right.
much better.
From
so,
those seeds.
From everything.
And Wendy grew some marigolds out of her ear, and they look lovely, Dr. Gopalan.
He's a, you see why my stress level is up so high, doctor? Actually, laughter.
I'm good for business.
You are, because laughter is a really good medicine,
sure.
too. It was a pleasure talking to you, Dr. Radha Gopalan. The book is called Second Opinion, Eight Deadly Diseases. Healthyhuman.us, is that the best website to find everything about you?
Yes, healthyhuman.us and curapersonalis.us.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to talk to you. May the chi be with you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dr. Gopalan.
Thank
a quick break. Steve with the news. I was kidding about that.
He didn't say and also with
he
you.
He did not say and also with you. His attorney will contact us. We'll take a break for news and then more show. It's Phil and Wendy, WGN. Thank
hey,
you.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Thank you, Steve.
You're so street.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Bill.
It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. From time to time on the show, we do a segment called Fun Facts. And what it is a bunch of things that are both factual and fun, thus the name.
Go figure.
You probably didn't know some of them. I'd be shocked if you knew most of them. Some of them are entertaining. So I'll just say them out loud and you can comment if you like. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. This is one I didn't know. I know very little about the state of Wyoming, but I sure didn't know this. The entire state of Wyoming, the whole entire state, has two escalators.
One up and one down?
I would think. If they planned it properly, yeah, one would be going up and one would be going down. The whole state
That's
has
weird.
Two.
Are they more in shape than other states with more escalators?
I don't know. It doesn't
I think they're
say.
Just flatter. Really?
No, I've... they are. That's
yeah,
part of it.
Yeah, you're right.
I've said this in the past. An escalator and an elevator are both misnamed.
Here we go.
Because escalate means to rise.
What's the deal?
What's the deal with that? the word escalate means and elevate both mean to rise, but you can get on an elevator and go down or an escalator and go down. It should be a de-escalator and a de-elevator.
Well, why would you call the same thing two separate names when most people take it to go up because they're lazier? It's
and you
easier
always,
coming down.
You always go up first.
Do you? Do you always go up first?
God, all of a sudden, yeah. Today's the day that Steve Bertrand sounds more like a genius than any other time
Steve's
before.
Steve's always a genius. He's always a
but
genius.
But more so than ever. Kevin's shaking his head no.
There could be a... Let's
yeah,
say you go to a
do.
Store
if
that
you,
has a basement sale. So you go into the department
exactly.
store
oh,
and they're having a sale in the basement. You would go down first and then to leave, you'd go up.
But Bill, right. you got me, but Kevin right. does not deserve credit for that.
He's right. such a dingus up there. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Kevin said it first about not always going. See, now I believe anybody. I am such a sheep.
No, come on. Come on. All right. How about this one? Did you know? Did anyone know this? I didn't know this.
I did.
Oh, you already knew
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I knew that one.
Ravens in captivity can learn to talk.
Nevermore.
Even better than parrots can. You could teach a raven to talk better than a parrot. That doesn't seem right.
I don't
but
believe
it. Is.
It. Where are you getting this?
It's on the internet.
That doesn't mean anything.
It means it's true. This one, if anyone here in the room knew it, Wendy, it would be you because you're married to Jimmy who knows everything about Star Wars. I find this hard to believe and sad. The actor who is inside R2-D2, that would be
Kenny Baker,
hated the man who was in C-3PO,
Anthony Daniels. Yes, that's true.
And called him, and I quote here, the rudest man I ever met.
That is true.
R2-D2 hates C-3PO?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's upsetting.
That's what I've heard.
That's upsetting.
And I only know that through osmosis. Joe, what's going on with you?
Yeah, you know, Bill makes perfect sense with that elevator and escalator thing. And along those same lines, you know, why does an alarm go off when it's actually going on?
How about that?
I'm so with you.
How about that? That's true.
And why is it that we look something up in a book when we're actually looking down?
That's also true.
Well, you must be fun at parties, Joe.
Joe, I'll hang out with you at a party. That's brilliant.
Right until the second one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Joe. Have a good one.
He was right on all counts. I'm still upset that R2-D2 hates C-3PO.
Yeah, because
why aren't they friends?
I read that somewhere because Anthony Daniels had a way of being talked down to him, not because he was so little,
yeah.
but he was kind of rude, is what I was told.
Well, I know on Star Trek, most of the cast didn't like William Shatner. Most of them.
Well, can you see why? I love him, but I never worked with him.
Right. But it's for some reason, I don't know why, in my head, C-3PO and R2-D2 would be friends, not the bitterest of enemies. That's upsetting to me. How about this one? It is a myth that no two snowflakes are exactly the same. In 1988, a scientist found two absolute identical snow crystals, and they came from a storm in Wisconsin. And this guy was doing that for a living? He was putting snowflakes down to see if they were identical or not?
Give that to Kim Gordon gets about this. Who does that.
Yep.
That's an identical set of twins. It came from one embryo. Yeah.
So the other day I was thinking of talking to Skilling about this on my windshield early in the morning. It was snowing or something, but it was in little tiny tubes. Like it was little threads.
In tubes?
Yeah,
the snow
perfectly
was?
Straight. Like
hollow tubes? Like little tiny straws?
I don't know if
straws.
They were hollow tubes, but they looked like tiny, really thin, 1/16 of an inch size of spaghetti.
And this was the snow?
All over my car window, yeah.
What would cause that?
I don't know.
That's crazy. I don't know what caused that.
That is weird. Call him. Did you take a picture of it?
No.
No. Yeah.
I washed it away.
Oh, Steve, that won't work. That won't work. If you're just joining us, these are fun facts, things you didn't know, but they're actually true because they were on the internet. When Disneyland opened in 1955, Tomorrowland was designed to look like what the year 1986 would look like. Now, I know for a fact, because I love going to Disneyland and Disney World, that they had to update Disney World's Tomorrowland about 15 or 20 years ago because somebody realized this
it's not so
doesn't
futuristic.
Look like the future at all.
That's
so they
had to
change it.
I've never been to Disneyland.
It's smaller.
I'd like it better.
It's
then.
A lot smaller.
More time to get back to the pool.
That's true. That's very true. Before George W. Bush took office, Wendy, some Clinton staffers canvassed the White House offices and removed the letter W from over 60 keyboards. I know this to be a fact because I know one of the people involved in this.
Why did they take the W? I know that's his middle initial or W.
To mess with him. To mess with him and his staff.
And, you know, I don't know if you remember that. It was scandalous because then there were reports that the offices were trashed and everything, and they weren't, I don't think. I think there was an investigation showed they weren't, but no one sort of tamped that down. So what started as a practical joke became sort of the first scandal the Clinton people had to deal with.
That's really funny, though.
It is funny.
You'd never do it again.
You couldn't do it anymore. I had heard this as a rumor, and then we had somebody in who worked, when I worked at another station, who worked for the Clinton staff, and I said, now this is a rumor, but I don't think this is true, and she knew right away what I was referring to, and she said I was involved in it. It was true.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Yep. All right, we have more of these. These are fun facts, crazy things that you probably didn't know, but you will know now. Stick around. We have more coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, this is a segment we pull out every once in a while. It's called Fun Facts. They are fun. They are factual, so we share them with you.
Have we ever done it before?
Yeah, once or twice.
Okay.
Yep, in the past.
Like, we've done this segment
before?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very high. It's very popular.
Highly touted
and very popular.
And called for, I think.
Many people have called for it.
They call for it.
Yep. I get postcards from people, and they say, when are you going to do fun facts again? And
my wife was making cookies, says the recipe calls for fun facts.
That's right. That's right. here's one. I think I knew this, but I'm not positive. Somebody tells you, I think I used to know that. This falls under the guise of something I think I used to know. Maybe you're the same. We're all familiar with Q-tips, of course.
Yes.
All right. What does the Q stand for in Q-tips?
Quality.
Steve?
I do not know.
Quinville.
Joel?
No, it's quality. You're absolutely right.
Is it really?
Yep, it's quality.
That was just a guess.
You were right. You nailed it. It's absolutely right.
I was going to say quality.
I call myself Q Wendy.
Q Wendy. When the last Blockbuster video closed, that's the store Blockbuster video, the last one closed in November of 2013, have we been almost 2.5 years without a Blockbuster? Has it been that long? When the last one closed, the final rental was the comedy This Is the End. Very appropriate, very fitting. How could we be without a Blockbuster for 2.5 years? That doesn't seem possible, does it?
Yeah.
It's been that long.
There are still, like, family video and stuff. I just miss when I always was overdue with my movies, and Arnold Schwarzenegger used to call me, "You're late!" Celebrity voice impersonated.
Would do that.
I loved it. This is Jimmy Stewart.
I always liked, they had a wall. I think they did this in every Blockbuster video. There were two fairly close to me, and it was new releases, and, like, Ghostbusters 2 would be on there. And I'd go, what constitutes new to you guys? Because this was out when I was in college.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because Netflix drives me crazy.
With their new releases.
New releases.
Well, it's new to them.
Or trending.
Right.
Trending. It's the same. It's been the same 10
right.
British TV shows trending for 2 years.
I like Blackadder, too, but this was out in 1975. You can't fool me.
It cannot still be trending.
It's impossible. In 1939, Adolf Hitler's nephew wrote an article called "Why I Hate My Uncle." He then came to the United States and served in the Navy, and then later settled in Long Island.
And his name is Donald Trump. I'm kidding.
Wouldn't you hope? Now, I don't know much about Adolf Hitler's nephew, but you would hope that he changed his name, because I would think it would be hard to get along anywhere having that last name.
Yeah.
I would imagine. On an April day in 1930, the BBC reported this. They said, "There is no news," and then they played piano music. How did that happen?
How could there be no news?
Well,
what's the date?
You know, April, it just says an April day in 1930.
Oh, okay.
You know how there are days that are what we call slow news days, where there's not much that happens, but there's always something that happens.
Usually is a sign that something big is going to, in fact,
right.
We were joking yesterday, it was so slow. That
calm before the storm.
Something big was going to come.
Yeah.
What happened?
Nothing.
Nothing happened.
You can always whip out a Kardashian.
You could.
These days, anyway,
you
not
could.
In the 30s.
Yeah, you could.
Grandma Kardashian, she did a video.
You know the Johnny Cash song, "A Boy Named Sue"?
Yes.
Do you know who wrote it?
Glenn Campbell.
No.
I have no idea.
Steve, do you know who wrote that song, "Boy Named Sue"?
Hoyt Axton.
It is not Hoyt Axton.
Good guess.
It is beloved children's author Shel Silverstein. And
really?
Frequent Playboy Mansion denizen. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
He was always at the Playboy Mansion wearing like a caftan.
And very
I always thought it was weird that a kid's author would be palling around with Hugh Hefner at the mansion.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah. Ben and Jerry learned how to make ice cream by taking a $5 correspondence course offered by Penn State University. They did all right with themselves for a $5 investment.
They did great, but I mean, can anybody make ice cream?
Anyone can make ice cream, but they, you know, they brought it to a whole new level. They brought it to a whole corporation. Out of a $5 correspondence course for the college, that's impressive. You will remember this. If I remember this, you'll remember this. In the 1970s, Mattel sold a doll called Growing Up Skipper. What happened with Growing Up Skipper?
She grew boobs.
Yep. Yep.
You twisted her arm back.
Yep.
And you know how many guys twisted my arm back thinking that was going to work?
This worked on my sister's doll. It's got to work for real. It's got to.
It hurt after a while.
That's why you need acupuncture now, because of Mattel. You should sue Mattel. The word Pez, which, by the way, is one of the most beautiful words in the world, Pez. The word Pez comes from the German word for peppermint, Pfefferminz. What they did is they took the P from the beginning of the word, the E from the middle, and the Z from the end.
Seems like a weird way to grab letters.
Doesn't it?
You know?
Right.
Like, oh, there's, Pfeff.
Right. I don't think Pfeff would sell as well as Pez.
Do you still eat those?
I enjoy Pez, and for reasons I don't understand, but this is true, and scientists will back me up on this, Pez tastes 10 times better if you get it out of a dispenser than just eating it out of a package.
Absolutely.
If you eat it out of Wile E. Coyote or Spider-Man, it has a lot more flavor than if you just eat it out of the package. Nobody knows why.
It has something to do with the touching plastic.
I think that's part of it.
Plus, it's just presented to you in
right.
a better way. If you grab it out of the bag, there was no fun in getting
right.
it, and sometimes you eat maybe two.
Right.
If you have one just coming out as a tongue sticking out and you grab
right.
it, it's the presentation and you're having one and it's really a pain
it's,
to load that thing
well,
so you savor it more.
The payoff is worth it. And you look at it as a tongue. I always thought that that character was having like a tracheotomy and then the byproduct was like a Pez candy, which made it hard to enjoy. But then you taste it and you go, this is so good. So good. at Fatburger. Have you ever been to Fatburger?
I have not, but I've heard great things. Is it only in California?
I think they're West Coast based.
Wasn't there supposed to be one that was coming here?
I don't think Fatburger.
I thought somebody was going to open one here. Was it P. Diddy or...
Oh, maybe.
Kanye? I thought somebody was supposed... Was that Whataburger? I don't know. Sorry.
Could be.
Fatburger. Never been there.
At Fatburger, you can order what they call a hypocrite. And what that is a vegetable burger topped with crispy strips of bacon. So what you're getting there is you're eating a vegetable hamburger, but you still have bacon on it. So thus the term hypocrite.
I know vegetarians who make a bacon exception.
Oh,
that,
really?
That is not right.
That's
well,
not.
I mean, they're not you can't religious do that. About it, but the bacon, I think, is...
It's a pig. Do they eat pork chops?
No one's saying it's real, but I'm just saying bacon is what a lot of people cheat with, so I like that.
There's one in, you know, I'm half Jewish, and in the Jewish culture, a lot of times, if you're kosher, you don't eat pork. Unless, magically, it's in Chinese food, and then it's fine. I have no idea why that's okay, but I've got so many relatives that I can't eat that. It's poor. Oh, wait, is it in the Chinese food? Yeah, that's fine. Then I can have that.
That is so funny to me.
I have no idea why that's allowable, but there's some kind of way to get around it.
See? That's the same thing, Wendy.
Now I have a taste for sweet and sour pork, and I'll never get that out of my mind for today.
All right, a quick break and then more show. Steve has the news coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Great job, Steve. Thank you very much. When we got in today, you wished me a happy International Women's Day, and I kind of chuckled because I didn't know it was a thing.
Oh, it's as legit can be, Wendy. I wished you and women throughout the planet a happy International Women's Day.
Do you want to know? I looked it up because I didn't really know. I'm a woman. I should know this thing.
Yeah.
I thought you were just being funny.
No.
The origins of International Women's Day can possibly be traced to the actions of women textile workers in New York in 1908.
Yep.
When 15,000 women marched to demand just girly things, hashtag just girly things, like shorter work hours, better pay, and voting rights.
Right.
In the next decade or so, other...
Does that still shock you that less than 100 years ago that women couldn't vote? That was less than 100 years ago. That shocks me every time I hear it. It just, I mean, I know it's real, but you go, well, that can't be. It was that unequal. The world was, the country was that unequal less than 100 years ago.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
In the next decade or so, other cool ladies from around the world, this is from BuzzFeed. That's why it's written like this.
Mm-hmm.
Other cool ladies from around the world all contributed to the creation of International Women's Day. In 1911, an estimated 1 million people attended marches in Austria, Switzerland, Denmark, and Germany, demanding rights for women in the first official International Women's Day. Since 1922, IWD has taken place on March 8th to commemorate the beginning of a massive women's strike in Russia in 1918 in the early days of the Russian Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
In 1975, the UN declared an official International Women's Year, as if a whole day weren't already enough, and made IWD a yearly thing starting in 1977. What happens on this day?
What doesn't happen? It's wall-to-wall mayhem.
The official International Women's Day organization wants you to take the day, women, to take a pledge for parity. Not parity as in, like, O-D-Y.
Like making fun of something?
Right, not that.
Okay.
Like to equal.
All right.
P-A-R-I-T-Y. And then take a selfie and tweet it with the hashtag Pledge for Parody.
Yep.
But if you hate the sight of your own face, there are still things you can do. Thank you, BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
There are festivals and events around the world. Lots of information from organizations like UN Women, where you can share angrily on Facebook.
Angrily,
which
why?
You can share angrily on Facebook.
Why would that be?
Does that make me want to click on that link? Or if you want to get really social media about it, check out International Women's Day on Twitter and furiously retweet everything you see except for the spam bots and men's right activists. This is really dumb.
Yeah.
As a man, am I allowed to take part in International Women's Day? That's what your thought bubble said.
Right. And I already know the answer is yes.
Let me hear your reason.
Well, I'm going to a pool party at Meredith Vieira's house as soon as the show is over.
You wish. Yes, International Women's Day is a fun event that everybody can join in with. You know, when you're out with the lads and you see... I don't even know what half this stuff says. What do women usually do on International Women's Day?
How traditionally have you spent your International Women's Day on average? What do you usually do?
This is the dumbest thing ever on BuzzFeed. I thought I was going to glean something about International Women's Day.
You're not learning anything?
No. International Women's Day really kicks off at the witching hour when, by the light of the full moon, all the women of the world gather in threes, whisper the man-banishing spell, and clench in unison, expelling foul spirits from their bodies and inviting good luck in the new year.
I'm relatively positive that does not happen.
I know. This is so stupid.
I'm almost sure that that doesn't happen.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to share this with everyone.
That's all right.
I wanted to find out about International Women's Day, and BuzzFeed is not the place to do it.
They're not helping you out with this.
But there is an internationalwomensday.com.
What's on that website? I bet they would have a better description of what
the
day is.
But you still can hashtag that pledge for parity. For parity, how will you mark the day? Celebrate the social, economic, cultural, and political achievement of women. Yet let's also be aware progress has slowed in many places across the world, so urgent action is needed to accelerate gender parity. Mm-hmm. Leaders across the world are pledging to take action as champions of gender parity. So you can make a pledge. Really?
A lot of businesses are installing glass ceilings as a way of celebrating International Women's Day.
Some people in Michigan are complaining that Hillary has made our primary day the International Women's Day just so she could get more attention.
I don't think that's the case.
No, but if it was, good for her. That's genius.
Yeah. Whoever is handling the PR for this day has not done their best work, because most people, yourself included, had no idea that that was what we were celebrating today. It gets little to no press for some weird reason.
And they're making a joke of it.
I know.
Over at BuzzFeed.
I know. I'm not. I think it's my favorite day of the year. Take that, Christmas Eve.
You're so for women's rights. That's why we
I
love
am.
You. We women
you know
love Bill Leff.
I am.
And listener Bill. Hi, listener Bill.
Hi, Bill and Wendy. I grew up in Europe, in Romania, and
yeah.
March 8th is a pretty big day. And the way they celebrate it, they just refer to it as Women's Day. The way they celebrate it, they have these little handmade brooches. They're tough to translate. I don't know what they would be called in English, but they make these hand little brooches. They're kind of cute with different, it kind of celebrates, I guess, spring as well.
Oh, a nice. Pin, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you buy them and you give them to women in your life, whether it's teachers, relatives, friends. So every woman gets one from every, you know, pretty much every
Oh, that's
guy
very nice.
Along with flowers. It's pretty cool.
That is really nice. We don't do anything like that
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that hasn't caught on here at all.
I got no
pin. No, when I moved to the States in 2000, it was a pretty big culture shock to all the women in my life when I brought in flowers, and none of them had any idea what I was doing.
Do they get, Bill, in Romania, do women get the day off or get to work a half a day?
No.
Nothing? No?
No, it's like Valentine's Day. It's just a way to kind of make money, I guess. But, it's a nice thought.
Yeah. All right.
Well, why doesn't every guy tell their favorite woman today, whether that be their mother, their teacher, their wife, their sister, that they love them?
Yep.
You know what? They should. I just spent $200 in roses. I just bought, I think, 30-something roses, and I'm going to the office and giving one to every single lady.
Wow.
Okay.
Way to get points, Bill. That's fantastic.
Time.
Yeah, can you believe I'm still single? It's once a year, though, so whatever.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Have a good one, guys.
Maybe somebody will think that rose is something.
Why is Romania always beating us when it comes to these little-known holidays? Why can't we do something to put up against Romania?
I don't know.
So much better than we are.
I don't believe he bought roses for everybody at his
office.
No,
that sounded legit to me.
That's what he said.
You don't think
so? Because it sounds really good on the radio that he said that.
I bought it. I think he did.
Do you remember when you used to have the cafeteria flowers that you could give when you were in high school? Like yellow was a secret admirer. White means you were a friend. Red meant I love you.
Right. I do remember those.
That's what I was thinking
of.
I might bring you guys carnations tomorrow. I don't know what color I'll bring you.
See, well, whatever's on sale. You don't have to break the bank
blue,
on this.
Blue
is fine.
Friend.
There was some story about some high school kid. I heard it here. I heard it on GN, on somebody's news report. Some boy bought a rose for every girl in his school.
I heard that, too.
That kid's brilliant. He's set for life. What
no,
girl
he's
would,
not.
You don't think so?
Who's going to remember this 20 years from now?
But for now... All
set
right,
for
I did
life.
Say, I did say set for life.
He's set for another
but
3 months
you don't
when
think
summer comes. And
he'll always be the kid. People will always go, yeah, that's the guy who bought every girl in the school a flower, a rose, for Valentine's Day. That's like the best. I think that kid's a genius.
It was for Valentine's Day?
Yeah. Yeah, it just happened a few weeks ago. The 14th.
Where'd he get the money?
I don't know.
I think he's dumb.
I can't figure out where any. My daughters always have more money than me, and I don't know where they. I don't know where kids get money. I never had. I had money. My birthday's in November, and Christmas is in December. So for a month, I had money, and for 11 months, I didn't have any money. But my daughters, like, anytime we go anywhere, they're like, I got this. And then they reach in, and they have a bunch of money.
Aren't they both working, Bill?
One of them is currently working. But
the other one was working and would pay for you.
She was months ago, but she hasn't worked since.
And she's still picking up the tab?
They always have
and
cash
you let
on
them?
Good.
What a great International Women's Day you have.
I would, not today, because it's International Women's Day, but any other day, I would pick up the tab. All right, a quick break, and then more to celebrate the greatest day that there is all year long, International Women's Day. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It is not only International Women's Day today, as some texter just pointed out, it is also National Pancake Day.
How do you feel about that? You can't have your own day. You got to share it with pancakes. Are you comfortable with that?
I got your pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
In honor of National Pancake Day, Bill, IHOP is giving away stacks of flapjacks to celebrate. And that's fun to say, flapjack.
Yes, it is. More fun. Pancakes is fun, but flapjacks is way more fun.
The restaurant chain is asking customers to donate to Children's Miracle Network hospitals or other local charities in exchange for the free short stack of buttermilk pancakes. And just so you know, the promotion goes from 7 a.m. today, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Oh, good.
Today.
Very good. What a short stack constitutes how many? Is that a two or a three, maybe? Probably right around there.
I haven't been to an IHOP in so many years.
Love them.
I want Waffle House to come here. IHOP has raised nearly $20 million since it began giving away pancakes 10 years ago.
Oh,
that's a great idea. Go donate something. They're suggesting Children's Miracle Network hospitals.
That is nice.
And in other news, as my computer has completely just died right now.
While you're trying to find that, I have a question, and it's been a little while since I've been in a National House of Pancakes, but when I was a kid and we used to go.
Yes, they're still sticky.
Well, they're always going to be sticky. They can't take that out of the equation. You almost want that. It's part of the fun. But we used to have on the table, there would be a little assortment platter of six or eight different syrups. Is
How
that
about
still?
That?
I like that.
Blueberry syrup, strawberry syrup.
Boysenberry if you were feeling adventurous.
Forgive me, but I just like the maple syrup.
Just your traditional? Yeah.
And is it syrup or syrup?
I go back and forth.
My kids correct me all the time. They say it's not syrup. It's syrup.
I think either one is acceptable.
You go back and forth?
Yeah, I do.
I have some fascinating news about one of our cities, one of our Chicago metro area cities, and my computer's frozen.
It refuses to tell you? I know a little bit about what you're talking about. It's the place that I currently live, Evanston, and we got a nice honor bestowed upon us earlier today.
Yes.
What do you remember? Because I only remember bits and pieces.
They rated 10 of the top cities, which I wanted to go over, and I am now forcing log off. For my computer.
All right. Tell me what that article is called, and I'll look it up on mine. This is the most work I've done since I got this job, by the way.
It was the top 10 cities, Evanston among top 10 cities in the world.
All right. In the
Maybe
world?
Maybe the nation. Maybe in the nation.
Okay. All right. I'll
I know Boise,
it.
Idaho was in there, too.
Well, it's always Boise's always going to be in there.
Have you ever been to Boise, Idaho? Have you ever been to Idaho?
Nope.
I haven't either.
All right, here it is. You want to switch places with me?
No, you can do it.
I can't read. All right, so they have named the top 10 cities, and I'm trying to find what they based it on. It says the annual list is made by analyzing vacancy rates, population changes, walkability, and diversity for more than 2,000 small to mid-sized cities across the United States. Evanston, the town we're talking about, where I live, was ranked number 10.
That's why.
It doesn't say because I live there. I don't think they lost points because I live there. But we were considered to be the 10th overall. Colorado Springs, Colorado was number 9. I've been there. Very nice. Plano, Texas, I've not been. Tempe, Arizona, number 7. Boise, Idaho, number 6. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, number 5. Bellevue, Washington is 4. Greenville, South Carolina, 3. Santa Monica, California, where I was in December.
Again, this is like a Where's Waldo?
Love
Where's
it.
Bill left? That's I've what they've made this list of.
I've been to several of these.
Because Evanston's beautiful and everything. It's far.
It's not far
away.
From me. It's right, I just When I walk out my door, I'm there. It couldn't be closer. It
couldn't be farther from me. Oh. To get to your house, there are no two towns between Evanston and LaGrange that are farther away from one another.
Well, if you know, if they ever build the monorail, then you're 20 minutes away. They've been talking about the monorail for years.
It won't go from LaGrange to Evanston.
You don't think it will?
No.
I don't know.
What's the number one?
The number one is Alexandria, Virginia.
I've heard that's really... These are the top 10 best downtowns.
Right. And again, what they did was they went with vacancy rates. So if your downtown has a lot of empty spaces, and any city, I mean, even Evanston, you know, there will be some business that goes out. So for a month or two, there's nothing in the space. But I do have to say, it does fill up pretty quickly. There's not a lot of open spaces there in Evanston.
How could Evanston be better than Chicago?
Because if they're basing it on that, on vacancy rates, on population changes,
walkability and diversity.
Well, you can walk from one end of downtown Evanston to the next in 8 minutes, but in the city it would take you way, way, way longer. So is that good? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if you get points or you lose points for that. Diversity, we've got people from every nation in Evanston, Wendy. We've got men, we've got women, we've got different colored people, different sized people.
Evanston has added mixed use and residential building in the heart of the Sherman Avenue Commercial District.
Where there was a Jamba Juice until last month and it closed. And
well, you're off the list.
Why would Jamba Juice close?
I don't know, I love that place. That was mysterious. These apartments and condos have created a place for Northwestern students and other young singles and couples to live beyond graduation, taking full advantage of the public transit lines connecting this northern suburb to downtown Chicago.
Yes.
Number 10.
We also have a fountain, by the way.
Every town has a fountain. That's why I invited you.
This. Wow. Our fountain has high C that comes out of it instead of water. So does yours?
All right, you win.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Ro and Anna will be in next to tell us what they have coming up on their show. Stay where you are, Bill and Wendy WGN.